Hey, what's poppin'? It's Drew and Mike show for Tuesday. And we're actually recording a little bit early because we're going to talk to Efren Ramirez, or Pedro. Pedro.
You know people call him Pedro all the time.
I know. And he's got a twin brother, identical twin brother.
That's right.
So, yeah, it's got to be nuts.
Wait, Pedro and Napoleon both do? They both have twins?
Oh, wow,
John,
that's weird.
John Heder's got a twin, too?
Oh, yeah.
How have we not seen a bit where Napoleon and Pedro meet Napoleon and Pedro? Like, be interesting.
That would be. I'm surprised. Anyway, they are
so
doing
weird.
A reunion show, at Detroit's Redford Theater on January the 10th, and that's 17,360 Losser. There's a Q&A at 6:30. You can get meet and greet tickets, or you can just go see the movie and watch the Q&A or whatever.
Everyone loves that theater, too. I've never been there, but
You know, I haven't been there either.
And it's really nice, I guess.
I was looking at the pictures online. It looks beautiful. Yeah. And if you go to Redford Theater's website, they have tickets. I don't know if there's any left, to be honest, but I think that thing was doing really well. But check it out. If you want to buy tickets, that's where you go. Meanwhile, Facebook Live, if we only were live, but the snow has got Trudy and Joey stuck in traffic. It sounds like they are moving very slowly.
Of all the days to start early.
Yeah.
It's snowing!
If we were live on Facebook, it would be brought to you by the trimming department at GrowGreen. GrowGreen Services cleans, rents, and sells all major brands of trimmers, including Green Bros, Twister, Centurion, Easy Trim, and Triminator. Get your life back and stop trimming by hand. Do people that trim by hand not have their lives?
No, because they're spending too much time
trimming
by hand.
When you can rent a trimmer from GrowGreen. If you decide to buy, your rental fee goes toward the purchase. How cool is that? GrowGreen MI and M36 and Whitmore Lake are online at GrowGreenMI.com.
There's a lot of fucking trim walking around. I don't mind this joint at all.
Hey, it was a weird day because I woke up and start to, going through stuff, the Today Show, and just, on my phone. And then
never
all of a
replied
sudden,
to my early text message.
I saw it.
I just wanted to be first.
Yeah, you were.
Yes.
I mean, you absolutely nailed it because you couldn't even find it online that Charles Rogers had died.
Yeah.
The Lion, the Spartan, the Saginaw High superstar.
Actually, I wasn't first. Tony Ortiz told me.
He told you?
Yeah, through the magic of radio.
Oh.
Because I'm an old man, and I wanted to hear traffic reports in the snow.
Oh, boy.
Why? Why did I want to hear it? I mean, I was in the car.
Wait, how far is your drive?
It's 10 minutes. It wasn't about me. I just wanted to hear how bad it was for everyone else, because I knew I would be home soon.
That's understandable.
But, Tony Ortiz was talking about it. It's like, oh, my God, in this terrible weather, I have to text Drew so I can be first for him.
Yeah, that was really threw me for a loop first thing this morning.
Yeah.
First of all, it's just really, really sad. It's just unbelievable that this story could end so badly at the age of 38.
In a weird way, almost sadly appropriate. Did you read the TMZ sports report on it?
I didn't.
They said he was battling cancer and liver disease.
What?
Yeah. He had been diagnosed with... this is TMZ, so for whatever that's worth.
They're pretty good.
He had been
TMZ, I think they're pretty accurate
actually,
when
they
break stuff.
I'm sorry, they're aggregating it from M Live. He had been diagnosed with liver disease and cancer and was awaiting a liver transplant before he died. A liver transplant at 38. That's according to former high school coaches. His Saginaw basketball coach, Marshall Thomas, said he had cancer. Whether it was related to his liver, I don't know. They'd given him 30 days to live if he didn't give a liver transplant. His football coach added, I called his mom at the hospital over the weekend. I got a chance to talk to Charles. He said he was going to the Lord, so he knew this was coming.
What?
Yeah.
So he died of natural causes.
He had a medical issue recently and was being treated at a medical facility last week. I mean, substance abuse you think of right away, right?
Well, liver, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know about the cancer.
Rogers. Yeah, the cancer part.
Well, what kind of cancer do you have? I mean, at his age, you would think he could probably
beat it.
Have a good shot.
Yeah, well, plus he's fairly healthy, but I mean.
But he needs a liver transplant?
Yeah, he had the Vicodin problem.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He drank a lot.
I guess he. Yeah. Well, he did.
Going back to Tony Ortiz, by the way, he said he ended his report by saying he will most be remembered for his days at Michigan State. And my first thought was, that's maybe fifth on the list.
For some reason, the first thing I remember is police banging the crap out of his car to wake him up and going through the sunroof to get him out because they couldn't wake him up.
Yeah, at Aiton Haggerty.
But he's correct, though. Career-wise, you'll remember him as that great wideout at MSU.
Really? Or would you remember him as the draft bust of Matt Millen?
I mean, everything in retrospect, however, if this guy never broke his clavicle, his collarbone a couple times... I mean, does his story end this way? And probably not. Mm. He breaks his clavicle so many times, he gets put on these opioids that were probably prescribed through the team.
Yeah.
Probably. You know, yeah. You're probably right.
It's possible.
I saw the picture of him that someone put with their story, of him holding up his Lions number one jersey.
Yeah.
When he was picked second in the draft, which had to be the zenith of his life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, you're in the money. $39.5 million deal, $14.4 million in bonus money. He must have earned over $20 million. He must have.
Yeah.
However, I wondered if he was not holding a Lions jersey, if things might have worked out better for him.
If he was in another area.
Yeah, if he was in another area. Because his friends from home, and you know, when Killer...
I think it's highly likely.
When Tom Kowalski, Killer, was alive, and we used to talk about stuff that maybe he didn't write about... Mm-hmm. He said that Charles, you know, had kind of an entourage of guys, and
yeah, it's a lot easier to get there to get to Detroit from Saginaw than to get to the Houston Texans.
Absolutely,
drafted after.
That's a good point. Yeah,
but then again, when somebody falls this far, I mean. It was a huge fall. How do you blow? Because he couldn't pay the Lions back.
Yeah.
He owed them money.
Yeah.
He owed them millions of dollars, and I don't think he paid him a cent.
What did he blow it on? Did he have investments? We don't know.
Eight children with four different mothers come into a play there. I'm sure a lot of money went there.
Yeah, but
can we be sure of that?
Can't be that. Yeah, it's another part.
Is that correct? Is it eight from four?
It's eight from four.
Someone earlier was saying, "Oh, those poor children." No, he's got four. What was it? How many is it for real?
Eight kids, four women.
Eight kids, four women. It's like all those eight kids need help, but then there's four moms. So, and then we realized that two of the kids are at least in their 20s.
Yeah, he had two kids at MSU when he went to MSU. He had two kids. One of the kids was walking.
I can't get that out of my mind, Brandon. What you said, the two broken clavicles. That's funny how the league will just discard you and sorry, you have an opioid addiction. See ya.
Well.
Not that it's entirely not that it's their fault at all.
Well, he was smoking weed on his own, you know, as well. A lot of marijuana, which at that time you're not allowed to do in the league.
He caught two touchdown passes his first game against Arizona.
I remember.
Yeah.
I was there.
Joey Harrington.
I believe he had 22 catches in his first five games.
Yeah.
And we were all very optimistic. I mean, it looked like, hey, this is great. I mean, it was the beginnings of an offense. It really wasn't, but it seemed like it might have been. Then the collarbone. Then he busts that in the first game of his second season. And that's when this was discussed in this morning's paper. I think it was the Free Press. About how Millen said, go take some time for yourself. Instead of going to meetings and showing up at practice.
Why would he say that?
I don't know. But that was the beginning of the end is what it sounded like. Because he just completely fluffed off. Came back the next season after getting in good shape to come back from the collarbone. He did not get back in shape. And that third season, remember how poorly he played? He had 14 catches. He was healthy. 14 catches.
Didn't we have Mike Williams by then? So
yeah, we did have Mike Williams.
Who cares?
And we had the other wideout.
Roy Williams.
From Texas.
Yeah.
Roy
was a little better. I kind of feel like it's unfair to attach Roy to those two.
Yeah, he was good while he was here.
He was an all-pro.
And anytime he got a first down when they were down by like 50, he still did the first down sign, which was really cool.
Oh, my God.
It was always a highlight in a very bad
game. Down 42, and he first down.
Those were horrible teams. Horrible. I mean, I'm delighted to watch the current team compared to that.
But they were kind of fun in their ineptitude.
Sort of.
They were so bad.
You know what's interesting? The Stafford injury. They referenced today that the last time Stafford didn't start was 2010 when Sean Hill started 10 games. And I remember Sean Hill played pretty well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was pretty good. Mm-hmm. And didn't Drew Stanton maybe start a game when Hill get hurt too? And then Drew Stanton started a game or two?
Probably. I remember Drew.
Pretty sure he did.
Just tallying this up here, in the 3 years Charles was on those Lions teams, what do you think their record was?
Oh, man. Let's see. 2004, 5, 6?
Hey, they won game one of 2003. I know that.
Three seasons.
Were they? I'm going to say they were 11 and 37.
No, 16 and 32. So they were better than what you remembered.
But they won seven games once? Or no,
5, 6, and 5.
5, 6, and 5.
Oh, if you want to keep going, it gets even worse. Because then it's another 5 wins, then 3 wins, then 7 wins. Ooh, they popped in 07 under Rod.
Oh, with John Kitna.
Yeah, but then the next year was 0-16.
Yeah, that offense. I thought with John Kitna, the offense was kind of wild that one year.
It's all floating back to me. Remember, they were 6-2 at one point?
Yeah, and they ended up 7-9.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's just embarrassing. And then they went 0-16.
Yes. After 7-9. 7 wins to no wins.
Wow. And then 2-14. Man, they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
They sucked.
Wow, I think it's let's bring back Caldwell.
Guess we can't cheer for that team.
You know, suppose Charles Rogers, one of the reasons he's broke is because he started college funds for the 8 kids? I'm just
no.
Hoping?
No.
No way?
No.
No, that's pretty sure you're right.
That's not why. Yeah. But that's a good I thought you were going to transition into a Luke Reed.
No.
I know why. It was such a ludicrous statement. I thought you were transitioning to a Reed.
My brain is so stuck on how did he blow all that money? Because I don't think he spent any of it on good things.
Well, there is a I came across a story like 2 years ago about Charles Rogers. Where is he today? We could watch it after Efren if you want.
Okay. Well, we talked to the guy at the auto body shop.
Ooh, should we call him and have them eulogize Charles Rogers?
Maybe we should. But first, I should mention our friends and original sponsor, Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, have launched their Jeep Adventure Days. Layla. Trudy must be here after fighting
the weather.
I believe
she's coming in now.
And you better believe it's as exciting as it sounds, because Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram's Jeep Adventure Days, you can finally get the brand new Jeep you've been yearning for, like a 19 Jeep Compass Limited, as low as $166 a month. Layla. Or if you prefer the Mac Daddy, you can lease a new loaded 19 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $268 a month. Plus, our friends at Zot have one of the largest Jeep inventories in the state, so that means lots of sweet Jeeps for you to choose from. And then we wouldn't leave out the Dodge Ram. Ram trucks! You can lease a new 19 Ram Crew Cab Bighorn Edition as low as $145 a month. Yes, Zot has an ass ton of Rams to choose from. See details in their massive inventory at dealsindeed.com. And then we have certainly, I think, given good time to J.P. Kush, because with the chance to purchase health insurance or the open period.
Yeah, We just it goes to December 15th, right?
I believe you're correct about that. If you are self-employed, stuck on COBRA, or your health insurance rates just jumped, then call our sponsor, J.P. Kush & Associates. J.P. I love this music. Yeah. J.P. Kush & Associates promises that their customers will always get the best health coverage at the lowest rates. They shop around for you. They look at all the carriers, not just the few that might get them the highest commissions. They find you the best coverage and prices. That's why you keep going back year after year to J.P. Kush. They sort through all the BS. You pay the same if you use a broker or if you contact carrier yourself. So why wouldn't you call 855-4-JP-KUSH to get a quote today and save yourself some time? Or go to jpkush.com. You might even qualify for a zero premium health plan based on your household income. Let them find out. They work with all the top-rated carriers like Blue Cross, Priority Health, and Molina. J.P. Kush & Associates, 855-4-JP-KUSH. No better call to make for health insurance. And make sure to tell them you're a listener to our program. Yeah. Weren't they on the bus when this music was
playing?
You got
it, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he was dangling the action figure out the back of the bus?
Why?
I know, that's just so because.
Weird. Yeah, why not?
Trudy! Uh-oh.
I just seen it in. No, I deserve that for just seen it in.
How bad?
What if she just seen it in today?
She probably did, because the one time she really got busted, she'd just seen it in.
Yeah, it was 6 inches on my side of town.
Oh, boy.
That's what I cleaned off my car anyway, so.
Pretty bad, huh?
Old Mother Nature.
Mm, indeed.
Well, you're just in time for Pedro.
Hello?
Is this Efren Ramirez?
Maybe. Maybe not.
Hey, it's Drew and Mark and Trudy in Detroit. The Drew
hey,
Mike
what's
Show.
Up, man?
How are you doing?
I'm hungry. I'm eating an apple.
Okay.
That sounds delicious.
Did that today myself. You know.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet, guys.
You guys have so much in common. You both eat apples.
I had apples. Apple yesterday.
Yeah. I had one earlier today, too. Wow, how common.
Whoa. Cosmic.
For some strange reason, my apple comes with half a worm. I don't understand.
Oh, delish. Meat. That it came with protein.
You know, I just thought of something. We met Pedro.
Yeah.
Three times, I want to say.
Pedro.
Pedro to Efren. Twice. Came in studio.
He's thinking it's a documentary.
Didn't he come in studio twice?
Yes.
And then
yes,
we had the event out at the...
The Men's Expo.
Oh, that's
yes.
right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
one...
It was the highlight of Efren's career.
Okay, don't think I'm taking a shot at you, but once when you came in the morning, I think you'd been out late the night before having fun. Mark, am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah. It sounds like almost non... The silence says no comment.
No, the silence means that it was so meaningful that I can't remember after what happened.
You can't even put it into words, right?
Exactly. It's so overwhelming. You know, even to this day, my therapist says, that's probably one of the greatest moments of your life.
It was a disheveled Efren Ramirez that showed up in the morning, but it all worked out. We got through it.
It looked like you from Deadbeat. I just happened to watch that over the weekend, and you were on it. And it was,
oh yeah,
there was
great.
another cosmic occurrence.
What's Deadbeat?
With Tyler Lean and Cal Penn. It was a
show. Cal Penn.
Yeah, and can you describe what your role was?
He. Yeah, oh my God.
You're a smuggler. Let's put it that way.
Tyler is he's a medium, and apparently he gets approached by these ghosts who have unfinished business before they really cross over to the other side.
And what was your unfinished business?
Terms. And my character is in search of having to finish. Smuggling illegal pharmaceuticals.
Heroin?
So that he can get the job done. And so Tyler actually does it for me in a comedic fashion.
Yes.
That quite the he helps me cross over to the other side.
Right. Yeah.
There you go.
Let's just say he was doing it to impress his father, whose name was Caboose.
Wow.
He was a drug mule whose name was Caboose. So you fill in the blanks.
Sounds heavy, man.
You're awesome.
By the way, the reason we're talking to Efren Ramirez / Pedro is because he and John Heater, Napoleon, and John Grease, Uncle Rico, and you know, everyone knows this movie? Doesn't everyone
yes.
know this movie?
Well, they should. Yeah,
it's awesome.
You guys are going to be at the Detroit's Redford Theater on Losser for a Q&A and a screening of Napoleon Dynamite. And they got meet and greets, and it sounds like a lot of fun, actually. Are you doing a lot? Have you been doing these already?
We have. In between working on projects, you know, because we're always busy, we decided to try out the 15-annual-year tour of Napoleon Dynamite to across the nation, and it's been getting sold-out shows, and it's great because, you know, this is a movie that generations are going to watch together, and you can see that, you know, you get the grandparents and the parents and the kids. I think the last one we did up in New York, and you see kids who are younger than the actual movie itself dressed up as the characters, you know, and they're all excited about having to watch the film on the big screen and then to hear us do talk about Q&A and how we really are and our experiences, you know, working on the movie, and it's pretty nuts.
Yeah, it's weird to think that it was rated PG, wasn't it? Because there's nothing, there's no language.
No.
That's bizarre to think of a more successful non-cartoon movie that would be rated PG. I don't know.
But yet, the humor, it really hit home with me. And I was talking to a friend of mine from high school who said, man, it got me kind of misty-eyed thinking about the old days, you know, shoving people in lockers and getting your books dumped. And I mean, it definitely related to me and my experience in school. There's so many great lines in the movie. I don't know why, for some reason, when...
I was going to say, I'm sure people quote them to you all the time, Efren.
Oh, for sure.
I think the reason why is because it's one of the iconic films that does have a time machine, and you know, like, you know, why not, right?
You gotta remember to put the crystals in.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty sweet.
I mean, kids are just dumb, but I thought they sort of did that in such a way that was funny and yet lovable and, I mean, nostalgic at the same. The line that I just love is when Napoleon is talking to the principal and he's pointing at you and he says, "Is that the new kid?" I love that line.
The story of how it came to be, it was a film school project. How did you get involved in it?
I was working on two TV shows at the time. One's called Boston Public and the other one called Even Stevens for Disney.
Anthony.
Only Boston Public.
That's a big show.
I know it was.
That's a big show.
Remember his name? Anthony Clark? Is that the guy's name?
Yeah. And it was for Fox and, you know, and I played a student and I was a complete troublemaker, which is like, sweet. All right.
Yeah.
And my agent told me, you have an audition for this film called The Alamo. And I was like, oh, okay. And another one was called Napoleon Dynamite. And when I read the script from the sides, I thought, like, wow, this is weird, you know. So, but I had no idea, you get a call and say, you got the job. So, you know, and I booked both parts for The Alamo and Napoleon Dynamite, but I wanted to do Napoleon Dynamite because it was a lead role and it was a character role. And, you know, I was still young at the time when it comes to the work. But the actor Jonathan Grice, who played Uncle Rico, you know, who's such a remarkable actor, who gave me advice, who helped me through the film, and even everyone working on the film, Napoleon Dynamite, was so. Most of them knew each other. They went to school together, you know, and the director was so smart in really creating these specific characters that you felt that you were able to trust whatever you created, that it was going to be there, and you. We had no idea the results, you know, was going to turn out to be the way it did.
There was
money. We were really happy that we would be a part of a film and maybe have something for ourselves.
What was the budget for the movie?
The budget itself was like $425,000.
Wow.
And it.
That's nothing.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What did it gross and how many points did you get?
Well, that's a good question. It's.
Did you get any points?
Million. Well, it made over $45 million in theaters, and then over $300 million in merchandise.
Merchandise?
Yeah.
Oh my
so,
god!
You know, and I was a union actor. I mean, I'm a union actor, so my contracts had to be renegotiated, and they did, and everything changed. You know, I bought my parents a house. I bought my house, and I live a nice life.
Wow!
You know,
go union.
So, how cool! See, I kind of thought that, God, these guys, you know, it was such a small movie. They probably didn't get paid much. So I'm glad they're doing these reunions. They can make a little money and cash in on it finally. But no!
Sounds like he really wants to
do
them.
They already cashed in!
Sounds like you want to do them.
Yeah, you must like doing them.
You know, the point for everything is that you, and for everyone, is to do what you love and love what you do. And to me, I love acting. I love the work. I love the creative part of having to do storytelling in such a way where people can get moved, you know, even as silly as, you know, that show that I did with Tyler Bean. You know, I just finished working on a series with Sir Ben Kingsman, and I was like, and I'm playing an astronaut, and I'm thinking,
whoa,
this is my life. I'm working with Sir Ben Kingsman. Jesus, so like I, you know, so in between working in films, I do go to high schools. I do go to colleges and I do go to middle schools, and I talk to students all the time, and they say, you know what? I'm no different than anybody else. You just go after it. You know, life is hard. Life is tough. Life is challenging. we get that, but, you know, find a dream and whatever you want to do, whatever you want to be, do that, because that's your life.
Or else all of your wildest dreams can come true.
They can.
Exactly. In other words.
She knows it.
And looking at your credits, there was one credit for Mr. and Mrs. Smith that it was just a cameo. And then all I could think of is, so, do you know Brad Pitt? Did you have any interaction with Pitt and Jolie on that movie?
Probably Pitt more than Jolie.
Of course.
Yeah. No, actually, I spoke more with Angelina Jolie than Brad Pitt.
What?
They both had wonderful messages. The director of that film, I remember him, I have an audition for him, and I was too young for the role for a specific movie. So after Napoleon Dynamite, you know, they called my agency and they're like, well, we got a small role for him. Do you want to do it? I'm like, of course. Whatever you want. And I remember Brad Pitt having to tell me, picture where you want to be and just go there.
Really?
That's it.
Well, it's heavy.
That
is heavy. It's really deep. Okay. But it sounds like something he would say.
It does.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was that. And I spent time talking with Angelina. She told me about her past, about doing theater, doing the work. And even though her father was famous, that she had to work into building her own self and her own identity and her own career. And I'm like, you know, they both have valid, strong points. Doug Lyman was the director. And they were, all of them told me just basic things about life and the work ethics you really have to do. So I go, you know what? Even though I did Napoleon Dynamite, that doesn't mean anything. I still have to work. I still have to test and prove to everyone out there that, you know what? I can do the work. So since then, I've been meeting so many great people all over the world to be able to say, you know what? This is possible. And I mean, in a crazy world that we live in today, you know, you reap what you sow. Go out there and create it. Go out there and do it.
So
go out there and move people, you know, because you can.
But the bigger question out of that story is, could you get Brad Pitt on the phone if you wanted to right now, or Angelina Jolie, if you just wanted to hang out? How many phone calls?
Three?
Okay. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Can't call him direct?
What? You're like, really?
Bad.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Who was the last person we asked and they said?
I think Jim Brewer. It was about Brad Pitt because he was in the new movie with them.
He said the phone call would be weird.
Yeah, it would be. Yes.
Which it would have been because I don't think they hang out. But three calls. I like that. See, yeah, I can't imagine somebody not wanting to talk to Efren Ramirez. By the way, do you have an identical twin?
I do. And I got to tell you, maybe you guys don't know this, but the guy, the actor, Napoleon Dynamite, who, you know, John Heder, he also has a twin, an identical twin.
So why don't you guys should do what the Gallagher brothers do and send them other Napoleon Dynamite events around the country while you're doing it.
That's a great idea. Brilliant.
Yeah, no one would.
Well, because we live in a multi-universe, we do send our twin brothers somewhere else.
No. Well, Efren would be the perfect person to comment on what the Gallagher brothers. Do you know who Gallagher is, the comedian that smashes the...
Watermelon. Yeah, the smashing watermelon, right?
Yeah. Did you know he has a brother who looks just like him, who he sends out to certain markets to do his act exactly as he does it, and nobody really knows that it's the other Gallagher? Now, do you find that problematic from a identical twin standpoint?
I do. It's because you know, you're not being honest. You're not being honest to the audience. You know, if the audience wants to see you, then you. I just had a conversation yesterday with a reporter. You know, the fact that even
about
if our
Gallagher?
Twin brothers want to be, no, about twins.
I'm kidding.
That if my brother really wanted to be an actor, and if he really wanted to do it, that hey, I'm open for everyone and anyone to do it. But if he does Hamlet and I do Hamlet, our interpretations will be different. Because our experiences, our training, our studying, you know, it will be completely different, even though we look quite the same.
Mm-hmm. Nature and nurture.
If you do Hamlet or if I play Romeo and she plays Juliet, then, you know, when she looks into my eyes, it's going to be different from when she looks at my twin brother's eyes, per se.
Better, though, right? Better in yours than his?
Of course.
you'll find a lot more passion with me, Senorita.
I invested a lot in that Gallagher question. That's pretty cool. I was expecting that.
But and the Gallagher question, I mean, if it worked for them, then cool.
It didn't. No, it didn't.
I just couldn't live with that.
It didn't work. Because the Gallagher that wasn't the real Gallagher, he got a big head and started going to markets he wasn't supposed to go to.
Yeah,
and so
the
real Gallagher ended up suing his own brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And their interpretations were the same, by the way.
they
both smashed watermelons.
You know, my brother had been to some places, and people would say, assume that he would be me, and he wouldn't say anything. And then I called him out, and I go, hey, dude, don't do this, because in the end, you have to live with yourself. And if you're not being honest with yourself, then how do you live?
But how many people don't believe him when he says, that's not me, I'm not Pedro? They probably say, yeah, you are definitely Efren Ramirez.
Right.
But he's got to explain the situation.
We look a little bit different now because he, you know, he burns the candle at both ends.
Oh.
You know, I'm an actor. So if I'm not on set, you're going to find me reading a script or reading a book or doing research on my next project or watching a great film, you know. Like I just recently saw The Lighthouse the other day, you know, with Jonathan Gryce, and we talked about filmmaking, the tone. I mean, I'm an artist, I'm an actor. You know, my job is to be able to find and do great stories so that when an audience watches it, they're like, we admire and we honor the work that he's telling, a great story with these great characters.
But your twin is living in the moment. Cool. Sounds like he's living more in the moment.
So there's Disney.
He's living some kind of monument.
Yeah.
You're deep.
Well, let's see. We have to welcome Efren officially to the Cameo family.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
John Heater joined the Cameo family. They had a warm embrace for him.
He does great cameos.
He does fabulous cameos. Yeah. Have you done a cameo yet?
Yes, I did. I mean, as a matter of fact, I did it last night.
Really?
Now, did you research what John does, or maybe Andy Dick? Did you see how they do cameos as opposed to Brian Austin Green?
It's so easy just to be sitting down and just say and give a shout out. And I think, you know what? You know, I'm an artist. So
amen.
What I did was because we have modern technology in our phones now. Yeah, I decided to revamp and green screen and do so many different things and do a message that makes so personal to the people.
Oh, cool.
I'm like, hey, man, why not? If they want something 30 seconds, like a shout out, I'm going to creatively do one where they go big, where they're blown away. And I'm thinking, yeah, why not? And it's pretty awesome, actually.
Good.
Well, we're gonna check it out because we've been watching people's cameos. And the reason Mark mentioned Brian Austin Green is because he is – I think he's uptight with the fact that he's doing something that he thinks he's better than. Isn't that really what it
is? That's kind of what it feels. That's the interpretation I get from it.
Yeah. Maybe that's what he's going for.
Right.
Yeah, maybe that's what he's going for. Hey, to each their own. You know, to each their own. I like getting creative. I really, and one thing, I'm given an opportunity like that, then I say, it's like when I'm DJing. You know, when I work as a DJ, the DJ doesn't play music for himself. It's you take a look at the audience and see what kind of audience they are, and then you play music that they're going to love, and you make them bounce to that.
Read the room. You got to read the room.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
John does a great job on his, and Andy Dick puts so much into it. He has 10-minute cameos. He gets so fired up.
Jeez, wow, that's about 10 minutes. Holy bananas.
That's crazy. You were in a movie with Andy, right? Employee of the Month. Andy's in that.
Oh, yeah.
doesn't sound like you remember, but...
No, because it's been 13 years when I shot that film. That's right.
Could you get Jessica Simpson on the phone in 3 calls?
I think
my God.
Too.
All right,
but no, 2.
How about Ashley? Who could you get on faster? Because you did a video with Ashley Simpson. Could you get Jessica or Ashley on the phone quicker?
I think both at the same time.
Oh, my God.
G-Love and Special Sauce?
Oh, I love him. I love that guy. That's one phone call.
One phone call. Okay, cool.
Now I'm jealous because that's my favorite band of all time.
And they're people who, you know, you got on speed dial. Yo, bro! So it's, you know, because we, even though there's real life as artists, you know, there's, you really want to be the best at your work. So some of these artists who have befriended me, who have mentored me, you know, I'm still learning and growing, because I want to be able to tell my own stories, and they give me such great advice. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, you kind of have a responsibility, you know, and you want to be able to really be the best at what you do. And I'm, you know, I just want to be good.
Well, we know your heart's in it, and this is our third time around with Afro. Actually, fourth time, including the men's expo.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. So yeah, it's always been fun having you on in studio, on the phone, or in person, like we did at that event. But this time it's at Detroit's Redford Theater on Losser, 6:30. There's a Q&A. You can go to the website for Detroit's Redford Theater. And they have a button you push to buy tickets, and they got the seating chart like everybody else. But Efren, thanks so much for the time.
Yeah,
really appreciate
you.
It.
Oh, and you know, I forgot. I'm on a new TV show for Apple. It's called The Helpsters. I'm working with a bunch of puppets. It's like Sesame Street, but it's like for Apple, and it's like
I just saw that
in New York, and it just came out. I forgot about that, and everybody's gonna love it. You know, it's called The Helpsters, and it's awesome.
Are you in it, or are you doing a puppet? Because I didn't know there were people in it.
I'm in it. You kind of like a celebrity guest star on the show.
Oh.
And I'm singing, and I'm playing my harmonica, and I'm dancing. And it's just like, it really is like, you know, I get to live this life, and I'm just so happy. So it's like when I'm in Detroit, I'm hoping that maybe perhaps I get to see you guys and give each and every one of you guys a big hug.
Yeah. Amen, so, man.
Well, you're one phone call away from us, so.
Yeah, only one. Thank you, Efren.
Yeah, exactly.
I know you guys will have a ball on January the 10th at the Redford Theater, and it's great to talk. Hope we see you there.
All right. Thanks, family.
Thank you so much, Efren.
Hey. If you vote for me, all of your wildest dreams will come true.
He's very deep.
It is very, very deep.
Is there a movie with more drops than Napoleon Dynamite? I'm not sure.
Billy Madison's a lot, but I think Napoleon was the most.
2 o'clock?
He kinda, it seems like he is playing Pedro in the G-Love and Special Sauce booty call video. He's the one making the booty call video. And I was watching it. I can tell you, I know acting's hard, but this might be his easiest gig because he basically sits there with hot chicks.
There's a skill.
Oh, I know it's a skill.
Man, he and Uncle Rico are tight.
Those guys were all really serious film students, actors, you know, when they did Napoleon Dynamite. And talk about cobbling together a movie.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
And I remember them saying $425,000. I thought John Heder said something like $75,000 or $100,000.
You can make that much money in 5 seconds.
Lucky.
I wish you'd get out of my life and shut up.
Merchandise, man, is where it was at, too.
I'm not sure there's a line that Napoleon says in that movie that I might not laugh at.
You have the worst reflexes of all time.
I think Decroded is a good one.
That's really good. It's funny how when we were kids, and I think kids still do, just the way they talk, it's hard. I think that whoever wrote the script, which was, John was one of them, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
It's brilliant.
Gosh. And the director, right?
Yeah.
Jared is.
Already made like Affinity of those at Scout Camp.
Affinity. Infinity was a huge word as a kid. Once you knew what it meant, it was all over the place.
And that hair, he did that whole hair thing. He had a really, really super bad perm on purpose,
yes.
I guess.
Oh, that one. I thought you meant when Efren shaved his head.
Oh, and then, yeah.
It was hot.
That, too.
It was hot because he shaved his
head. Oh, man.
Because even all this minor characters, every one of them is really good.
Break the wrist, walk away. Get out of your sensei. Get out of your sensei.
He was great.
He's a fairly big actor, isn't he, that guy?
Yeah, he's in other stuff. What's Kip doing? Does anybody know what Kip's doing?
I have no idea.
Oh, yeah.
He was fantastic. He was great.
I just assumed he settled down with LaFonda.
Dang it.
Yes.
Oh, that he's here. He lives here, then.
That's right, yeah.
Don't be jealous that I've been chatting online with babes all day.
Beautiful.
I asked a lot of dumb questions. I almost asked if he saw Real Genius because John Grease is in that, the guy that played Uncle Rico. Yeah.
He's in a lot of stuff.
That sounds pretty good.
And I feel like no one has seen Real Genius but me and like one listener.
You can say that again.
Yeah, such a good movie. Thank you. Thank you, Kip.
That's what I'm talking about.
Thanks, buddy.
Okay, there's a lot of, hopefully, people calling Anthony and saying, hey, Anthony, activate the lock trifecta of the month. You can call Anthony at Zot Ford at 248-215-5151. And that lock trifecta, yeah, they've all gone mad over there. Gabara, I don't know if he's still employed, frankly, but all I know is that for a short time, Zot Ford and Holly is offering their lock of the month with a never-before-seen trifecta that will more than double your paycheck. You got the 0% financing up to 72 months on your next new Ford. Part two on top of the 0% loan. You make no payment on your Ford for 3 months. You can try. You can send them check after check. They won't cash it. They won't take your credit card, nothing. You cannot make a payment for 3 months.
God.
I know. It's crazy. And people keep testing them by trying to pay. That won't work. Can't do it. They will not take your money. Part three, in addition to 0% financing and no payment for 90 days, Zot Ford will line your pockets with up to $7,000 in cash. Yes, Zot Ford will give you as much as $7,000 in cash when you buy or lease a new Ford. So find out what that number is. Maybe it's $7,000 for you. Take that cash. Buy your loved ones gifts for the holidays. Go pay bills.
You can make that much money in 5 seconds.
Or take your family on a dream vacation. Your choice. Pick up the phone. Call Anthony directly to activate your lock trifecta. I want people calling him at 248-215-5151 and say, "Lock, activate my lock trifecta, Anthony." 248-215-5151 is a magic number. Call Anthony before Brandon tries to kibosh Zot Ford's ultimate lock of the month.
All of your wildest dreams will come true.
Lock of the month. Lock of the month. And Trudy got the November news from Dr. Roche.
For Dr. Roche, yeah. Hot off Dr. Roche's press is Christmas stocking stuffers in the form of breast implants from Dr. Roche. Mm. It boosts your confidence, helps you get more compliments. You look amazing in everything. So schedule your consultation for Christmas breasts. And they also have the pre-holiday Botox Dysport filler special. One syringe of Restylane, get the second syringe of Restylane, $100 off.
Are
at Botox.
Serious?
Two areas, get the third area free of Botox Dysport for line and wrinkle minimization. And their holiday breast augmentation special, I didn't say, $3,500 for saline implants. Broadband light, BBL, three treatments of Photorev for only $1,200. That's
Can I try it really quick?
I bet you need it now. $23.25 for that normally, so that's $1,000 off. And Diva Therapy, three treatments, regular $4,500. It's on special for $38.50 because your Christmas should be tight and white. Get a free G-spot for $1,200 and lose inches before Christmas with non-invasive Zerona 11 treatments, $353 at Dr. Roche. DRROCHE.com or call for a consultation at 248-338-1110. Always willing to take a look and see what they can do, and they have so many other procedures. You can go to their website and check them all out.
Amen.
You can say things are getting pretty serious.
You can say that again.
Do we have the number for Charles Rogers' last workplace?
Yes. Yeah.
We do?
Yeah. For a eulogy.
That was sad.
I wasn't real chatty last time.
No.
What? Feeling, it's just a feeling I got.
I was telling Brandon before the show, I love having people eulogize because, you know.
I know.
First off, they're closer than we are to the individual. And
he worked with him.
Can't say no.
He employed him. Yeah. No, you can't say no.
He knows him better than we do.
As I recall, it seems to me that I got the distinct impression that maybe Charles Rogers wasn't the most loyal employee, wasn't the most persistent.
You think he took a lot of mental health days?
It seemed that he did. It seemed.
Do you think those mental health
days have a schedule at all?
Do you think they were filed after he didn't show up? In other words, they notified him it was a mental health day?
Very possibly. We still have the number, Brandon?
We do.
Maybe we should open the Hall Financial Hotline.
It is called Uptown Motors. And the Hall Financial Hotline is already open.
They might have some information. That's right, for Efren. Duh. They might have some information on this liver.
Yeah, it's really
I mean, he needed a new liver?
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. I don't know why this feels really bad.
Yeah, it's awful. It is really sad.
I mean, I know a lot of times when people are up high. A lot of people want to shoot him down. And when, you know, he had a rough stretch with the Lions, I think a lot of people were, yeah, cut that, overpaid. But then it's just over, and you see the complete disaster that success was for him. You know, no one to help him with money. I don't understand, why does that keep happening over and over and over with these guys? What do you think the NFL would...
Conversely, everybody's there when you're making money. Nobody's there when you're not making it anymore.
Absolutely. And, you know, he was arrested recently.
Yeah.
I guess a fight with his mother over $100,000.
Yeah, that was a weird one.
I know. It's just.
Do you want to hear this news report from 2 years ago?
Yeah. First, let me just mention quickly the lower payments, better options, and more personal attention from Hall Financial. Since we're going to be talking to the fine folks at the
Uptown Motors.
Yeah, Uptown Motors. I'm sure they're probably writing a eulogy now for all the people calling for them. If you want to go to drewandmike.hallfg.com. They can figure up a refi for you, find out how much money you can save every month for the next, I don't know, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, how long? Or maybe on a shortened length of your loan, take money out of your house or buy your first home or your dream home. This is a great bunch of people if you need someone to help you through that first purchase, which is always nice to have people who are efficient and don't keep coming back to you for stuff you don't have.
Right.
Lower payments, better options, more personal attention. Hall Financial, you won't be disappointed. NMLS number 1467435. And you can go to the website, click the link, and they will get back to you, but fast.
You can say that again.
What's the report from?
Fox 47. I don't know if this is a station down in Florida or if it's up in Saginaw.
There was a time when Charles Rogers was a bona fide football superstar in the state of Michigan. First at Saginaw High School, then at Michigan State University, and eventually with the Detroit Lions. 3 years later, it was all over. And while there won't be a pro football comeback, he's trying to make one in his personal life. Phil Burke.
This is
going to
make it even more sad.
Dang it!
Or sadder?
Oh, boy.
Oh, the EA Sports ad.
Is he working with kids?
Charles Rogers had 68 catches and 13 touchdowns.
Do you remember this?
That's one of Ray Lewis, right?
Yeah.
Welcome to the big time, Ruck.
The talent was undeniable. The hype, immeasurable. But then injuries and drug issues forced Rogers off his home state, Detroit Lions, and he only had one label associated with him, draft bust. In his mind, the bad events in his life started to happen following the death of his beloved grandfather.
And I feel like if he was here today, life would be different for Charles Rogers. And I'm just sad.
He's wearing his Uptown Motors shirt, by the way. So
is he?
Free
okay.
Pop.
They'll be glad to hear that.
I let him down.
That's sad.
It took nearly 15 years for Rogers to return home to Michigan State until he made a visit last November to visit Coach Mark D'Antonio and strength coach Ken Manny, two individuals who were on Coach Bobby Williams' staff during Charles Rogers' time at MSU.
Just the things I went through, that they weren't going to show the love. It was me, because I just didn't know how they was going to accept me. I just didn't know. I was scared.
Rogers is hopeful that the visit last November in the happier moments in his life can help him going forward. He's well past caring about names or labels associated with him.
So I'm finding that next chapter in life, man. And, you know, they can say this about Charles Rogers. They can say that about Charles Rogers. But you can't take away what Charles Rogers have done. Period.
Has done.
And have us Bill Byrne reporting. Charles Rogers now calls Fort Myers, Florida home, where he's...
Oh, boy, how many third persons? I mean, after all that time.
It's a good third-person name, though, I've got to say.
It is.
I almost want to defend him.
I just think after you bust it out, you'd be less inclined to do third-person after the way things went there. He's not the first guy to have a monster college career and then have a very brief pro career, but it's always sad when it happens. I remember Johnny Rogers won the Heisman Trophy when I was a kid.
Nebraska?
Yeah. He was... everything at Nebraska, and they won the national title. Remember, Greg Pruitt played for Oklahoma at that time. Greg Pruitt was incredible. And Johnny Rogers, all I know is he was out of the NFL fast. I don't know if he was, maybe he's playing the Canadian Football League, but I believe there were a couple robbery arrests and some prison time.
Well, isn't the best example Ryan Leaf?
Ryan Leaf.
Yeah.
Well, Ryan's kind of rebuilt his life.
Johnny Manziel.
Well, I think it's easier to do that now because those guys, you know, Johnny Rogers, once he went to prison, I think people just forgot about him. Oh, well, like, you don't exist.
That makes another one. How about Lawrence Phillips? I talk about a waste of talent.
He was nuts. I mean, something was terribly wrong.
Yeah, he was a criminal all throughout college.
He's a murderer. Jamarcus Russell is a big one.
Jamarcus, he had the problem with drugs.
What about our friend in Michigan State that just
Mandrich
fell apart?
Mandrich?
No, Malik McDowell.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he was as high as some of these other guys, though, was he?
No.
He was second round, but yeah.
But Malik McDowell, honestly, when that happened, when you saw the video of the arrest, wasn't that the one to get my supervisor? Yeah. I want to get your supervisor.
Tell your supervisor.
What, 58? 58 times.
But he didn't get that great deal on that Raptor.
I need your supervisor.
Well,
when I saw Anthony at Zada, he was driving a Raptor. I said, "Did you get that for $3,000 off the street?"
Did you get the reference?
A little bit. I'd explain it. But yeah.
Well, I was just thinking about when we talked to Malik McDowell's mother on the air. It just seems like it was not very long ago. And that was when you're thinking, gee, is this guy going to be the star? Is he going to be drafted high like everyone thinks he will be? He hasn't played one down of college football. And here we are sitting here now, and it's done. It's already done, over, return half your bonus money. Mm-hmm. And like Charles Rogers, I don't believe he's returning any of the bonus money. And I'm not sure he will.
Who's the biggest Lions draft bust? Is it Charles?
Gotta be.
Joey Harrington was Mike a pretty Williams nice bust. I would say Mike Williams over Charles Rogers.
Williams was drafted, what, seven spots later? Wasn't he number 10?
Yeah, he was 9 or 10.
Well, Reggie Rogers, he was up there. He was a disaster.
He was a total disaster. Well, he killed a family, didn't he?
Yeah, he's dead now.
Yeah. I believe he had a couple other drunk driving arrests after that. So, Eulogy, I don't know, Trudy, you think it's appropriate for Uptown Motors?
I think so.
I mean, it's the last place he worked that we know of.
By the way, they have really cool work shirts.
Yeah, they do. I like their shirt.
They look like bowling shirts.
Oh, I love work shirts.
I wear their shirts.
They look like bowling shirts, Drew.
That's my favorite Riff shirt. It was the one just with the oval and the pocket.
Yeah.
Light blue.
Oh, man.
I hope they're not avoiding the media.
Is their song?
Yeah, Uptown Motors.
Hi, this is
the tone.
What?
Please record your voice message.
The worst outgoing
when you are
message
finished
ever.
Recording, you may hang up or press
I
down
hear it
for
again.
More options.
Hi, this is the Drew and Mike Show in Detroit, and we knew Charles had worked there, and we were hoping somebody could give us just a little something we can use as part of our eulogy for Charles. And it seems this was the last place he worked, so I thought maybe somebody knew Charles there. Anyway, thank you so much.
To send your message, press 1 at any time.
American Urgent.
To listen to your message, press 2.
No. Well, we
just send
American
it urgently.
Urgent.
Let's call back, too. I want to hear that. Messages. What kind of message was that?
It was way off mic.
It was like LT.
What?
The LT thing was that's the most bizarre phone call possibly ever.
It was strange. Although, so is Fred.
What do you want?
What? Everything is fine. Yeah.
In the echoiest room
ever.
What
can I do for you, man?
Hello? Yo.
What?
That's how you answered the phone, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, LT's got all, you know, he's in a hurry.
Have we tried that number back?
No, I don't think we have.
Should we try it? I mean, just... What?
At the tone, please record your voice message.
No idea.
When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
What can I do for you, man?
I'm hoping this is Uptown Motors. The outgoing message is really not very informative. I just hear somebody kind of, it sounds like they're not even talking into the phone.
Everything is fine.
And then all of a sudden, beep. And so... You know, this is an important day with the death of Charles Rogers, and I don't even know if I have the right number. The messages. It's really hard to know what's going on there. I'd redo it myself, just saying. Anyway, thanks. Sorry. Ridiculous.
Also,
I'm hoping this is up to our motors. The outgoing message is really not very informative. I just hear somebody...
kind of, it sounds like they're not even talking on the phone.
Drop sound the same.
So clear.
And so, you know, this is an important day with the death of Charles Rogers, and I don't even know if I have the right number.
Yeah.
It's really hard to know what's going on. I'd redo it myself.
To send your message, press 1 at any time.
I can't get over how cool the LT drop sounded on that message.
Yeah, because they were through the phone.
It was so like he was closer to the microphone than I was.
Yeah.
It was wild.
Everything is fine. Right,
Did you find the LT number?
The two old LT numbers. I hope we don't run into a Danny Ainge experience.
Oh, boy.
I hope that we end up on speakerphone again. That would be just the ultimate.
Well, what can I do for you, man?
Oh, God.
LT.
What? LT. How old are these numbers?
Oh, they're very old.
What's LT doing?
What?
I don't know what, you know.
Everything's fine, Trudy. LT. Whatever he's doing.
There aren't many people that got in more trouble than LT.
Yeah.
No. You are trying to reach is not accepting what? Calls at this time.
It could be him.
Please try to call again later.
La persona con la que intenta comunicarse no acepta llamadas en este momento.
What?
Okay, I'll try the other one.
Do I dare look up and see if he's listed today?
Sure, yeah. Why not?
Where do you think he's living now?
New Jersey? Doesn't seem like he's usually in Jersey.
Remember, OJ just talked to him not that long ago. Right. I called up my friend Lawrence Taylor.
Oh, OJ's got his phone number?
OJ's suing the Cosmopolitan Hotel in Vegas, by the way, for defamation because they kicked him out.
Yeah, good luck with that one, Joosh. OJ was very bummed on his Twitter yesterday. I don't like fantasy football anymore. He's gonna kill fantasy football because his team sucks.
Hello, Twitter world. It's me, yours truly. Well, today is 9/11, and I guess we all should take a moment to remember the people who gave their lives and lost their lives on that day. I recall I was on my couch watching TV, and when they interrupted the show, that a plane had ran into the first building, and I immediately called my buddy Lawrence Taylor,
why?
Big New Yorker. He was on the golf course.
What can I do for you, man?
I told him what happened. And, you know,
what?
He went on and continued to play golf.
Everything is fine.
And then a few minutes later, a plane hit the second building. And I called Lawrence back.
What? What can I do for you, man?
I said, Lawrence, you ain't going to believe this. Something's going on.
He calls him back.
And I remember he rushed into the clubhouse
yeah.
to see what was
why?
Going on. Horrible day.
Everything
he could do
fine.
Something.
But something I'd never forget.
Maybe there's someone that needed to be sacked.
Why did he feel the need to keep calling Lawrence Taylor? Do you think he's
New Yorker?
Gets his news from Lawrence Taylor.
He's in Pembroke Pines, according to
that's where
Wikipedia.
He lives?
Really?
Yeah, with his third wife.
Because there's a really good...
The one that threw something at his head.
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh.
But they're okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Everything is fine.
Hang on, let me see if I can... Pembroke Pines? All right.
Yeah.
Wasn't O.J. being kind of the John Cryer in that case?
Oh, yeah.
Acting as if he had an inside line on 9/11 news.
LT rushes into the clubhouse.
Well, not until the second call, though.
To do what, though?
That's what's funny.
By the way, this
I don't
is,
know. Maybe someone needed to be sacked.
This is 6-7 years post-murder. I mean, was he really that tight with LT?
Yeah. I mean, come on.
I don't know if I'd lie.
If anybody's not going to judge him, it's LT, right?
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
I don't think Ray Lewis probably would hang with OJ. That would just look bad, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I think they should. Yeah. Shouldn't they all have a football team?
Oh, wait.
It would be kind of cool in a way. I mean, it'd be
sort
of like the Raiders type of image.
Right. Only, what do they call themselves? Because they're not all murderers or, you know, like.
The Outcasts.
One's a murderer.
Convicts.
Convicts.
Yeah.
That's a cool
Longest
one.
Yard.
Yeah.
They wore Raider colors, didn't they?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, they were black and red, right?
Well, which one? There were two of those movies.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking of the most recent one.
I was thinking of the original, although in the second one with Sandler.
Yeah.
This is really funny. We're getting that room built over the garage in West Bloomfield when that came out.
Oh.
And I kept going, I want to do something different. I don't know what. And then Adam Sandler, there was a shot, and I saw the wall behind him, and it was these wood squares. And I was like, wow, that's a really cool look. I wonder. And so I froze it, took a picture of it, and took it to this this
carpenter.
I forgot. It wasn't. Yeah, it was a carpenter, I believe. And they were like, "Oh, that's pretty expensive, but yeah, we can do it. It'll look fantastic." We did it. It looked great.
It did.
It was way cool. The TV was framed in it. It was just
wow,
just right.
Yeah, and then you got your new curtains.
purple drapes. All my life I've wanted purple drapes.
Hey, did you guys happen to see the Miley Cyrus news?
Yeah, she can't talk, right?
For weeks. Good. Oh, my God.
Throat surgery, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but she's having an operation, which will be all right. It'll be successful. But the idea that she has to stay quiet for weeks.
I know, that's delightful.
Really happen? Do you think she can keep her mouth shut?
Liam must be so bummed.
Why can't she be genitally linked to someone at all times? I mean, isn't she always rubbing her genitals on something or someone?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if it's a guy, it's a girl.
It's like a magnet.
Right. Well, she can't stop talking and she can't stop doing that. So
that reminds me of some more music news. The Black Crowes officially... back.
Yeah.
And they'll be playing DTE on July 29th.
Shake Your Moneymaker all the way through.
All the way through.
Uh-huh.
I heard nothing about Steve Gorman. In fact, they were asked something to the effect of, what about the other players and the original members? And it was like, we're the original members.
Okay. Don't rile them up, is what I'm saying, so that they can get this done.
I hope Steve didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Well, he had a tweet today.
Steve did?
Yeah.
What did he say?
It just said...
Probably happy for him.
Nope. That was his only tweet today. It just said...
Oh, that's great.
Oh, that's funny.
Let me see if he's updated it.
Yeah, he said he believed they would get together.
He knew it would be without him, too.
And yes, he did.
Yeah.
I don't think it had anything to do with the book, either.
No.
It was just not happening because...
But you know what?
It was all about cutting him out.
That had to have been in the making of, the tour reunion thing. So the book was great timing.
It was.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, somebody was asking me, they said, I want to read a music book like a lot of the ones that you read. And they wanted to know, would you choose Steve Gorman or Elton John? And that's a tough choice. Because Elton John's book is great. But honestly, I think I like Steve's book better.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it was a better account. Elton is so all over the place. You know, like, I mean, no offense, but I don't know if I want to read 30 pages about Ryan White. a little Ryan White-ed out by the time I finish that segment. I mean, I feel terrible about it. I mean, there's no Ryan White and Steve Gorman.
Like
not that Ryan White. I mean, I'm glad that
the kid with AIDS.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like two pages for every year of his life.
Well, Elton was, he played at the funeral and he was friends with the family and he was going back and forth.
What about Diana? How many pages of that didn't you?
Oh boy,
that was a lot of. See, there was a lot of stuff like that. And the boyfriends, I wasn't as interested as.
What really?
I mean, I don't mean to be. I'm not discriminating anyway. Just saying, Steve Gorman was probably a little better of a wheelhouse book in terms of content. Elton, though,
Elton's a partier, man.
Elton is with the biggest stars, and when Elton, tells a story, it's generally a really big story, but there's just a lot of other stuff.
Goodbye, Rose. May you ever grow in our hearts.
So did you watch Mike Duggan on 60 Minutes last night?
I did see him.
Mm-hmm.
And
were you surprised by that? Or I didn't.
I didn't know he was going
to
be on.
Jesus.
You know what? I honestly, when I first saw him, I wondered, this is where my brain went. Gee, I wonder when 60 Minutes called Mike Duggan, did they ask exactly what it would be that they would be talking about? And then when they said, oh, Jamie Dimon, the big banker, and what happened with Detroit? I wonder if the Duggan people said, would you be asking anything else, like outside of that zone? Or if they just took their chances.
Oh, I'm sure they
because that thing went really well.
I'm sure they took their chances.
Yeah. Oh, right. They acted like there's nothing else to talk about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the story's
really...
You
don't want to bring it up.
The story's not about Doug.
No, it's not.
The story's about Jamie Dimon.
Did
Leslie
Stahl make it sound like we were ending here? Like we were... Because
did she make it sound like what?
She was like, Detroit was just ruined. And she said that like three or four times. Like it was, no. I agree.
Hey, Leslie, shut your fucking mouth! That Detroit was just screwed.
That it was so like it was nuked back to the Stone Age.
It was.
It kind of was, but we were still all functioning.
It was pretty bad.
It still
has quite a ways to go, and that's what was so disappointing about the story about the Ilitches and Little Caesars was that was, there's so many things going in the right direction, and then when one of your biggest players is dicking around, I just, that was, that really bugged me. I can't even express. I didn't want to renew my Tiger tickets. I was so pissed. And then it seems that with...
Isn't it fun how they jumped on the bandwagon of, what's Jamie Dimon? What company is it again?
Chase.
Chase, yeah. That ones that they had this initiative, and it's like, well, I'll do that. I'll donate to that to all the local people.
Oh, right, yeah.
Which, you know, yeah. Of course they would.
Well, that's, you know.
That's a good story.
Yeah, I'm glad it...
Well, I like Jamie Dimon.
And working, yeah, I thought he was a real positive guy.
Yeah. You know, very well.
He's got to be really short, though, right? Did you see him next to...
Oh, he seemed pretty... Oh, is he short? He seemed really comfortable in his own skin. He just seemed like a good guy to me.
Absolutely.
There's a lot to be feel good about.
Well, lots of money.
It's a shit ton of money.
Very measured in how he answered questions, too.
Yes.
Well, there was...
right about a lot of, you know, the... Except the only question that bothered me was, the board's the one that pays me.
I know. Yeah.
It's such a... it's a cop-out answer.
Well, she pointed that out, too. She's like, this is the only question you want to answer.
Yeah.
You know, executive pay... I understand why people, and I remember reading about certain people and their executive pay, you know, when the companies weren't performing well, and you'd be like, how could they pay that? You know, and with the big three, it always comes out, especially during UAW negotiations. But honestly, somebody who turns a company around or keeps a company purring or keeps it or keeps it growing when it's that big, it's insane how much they're worth. Because if they aren't there, and the next guy comes in, and they lose a little something in a big company like that, is huge.
Yeah,
like that McDonald's guy.
Yeah,
I mean that's a painful loss for McDonald's. He really, that stock was really flying high.
I remember Leslie Moonves got paid a lot when CBS, Viacom, whatever it was losing a ton of money. That's what never makes sense. When the company's losing a ton, why do they get to make a bunch of money?
Yeah.
Because clearly they made the wrong decisions.
Right.
One of the highest paid CEOs, and that stock was just getting destroyed.
I think more than gripe about the gap between executive pay and, you know, line workers or regular employees or what have you is... It bothers me that some of these companies are so profitable and pay no taxes, like Amazon. Mm-hmm.
But whose fault is that? Is it their fault or is it the federal government?
Well, that's the thing that pisses me off. When Leslie Stahl asks that question, I know she's asking him a question when she says, do you think your executive pay, should something be done about that? And it's like, how can you, what, you're just going to say that no executive can make over $1 million? Mm-hmm. That's it?
Well,
there's a ceiling for every job, every company. You can't do that.
His answer finally boiled down to is, that's not going to fix the imbalance.
Yeah, but then I thought her comeback was great. She goes, you could give it back, which that's kind of what he did in Detroit then.
Nice comeback!
Going to get his back, but he brought his company here.
Which they probably get a nice write-off for, by the way.
Oh, for sure. But you know what?
Here's the thing about
Detroit.
The wealthiest CEOs, they tend to give a lot of money. You know, look at Bill Gates and Ted Turner and people like that.
Oh, yeah.
They've given most of the money. They have given most of the money back.
Come on, Bezos.
But what disappoints me about Bezos
new Bezos news today? What he's going to spend his money on?
Oh, maybe you should tell me before I bitch him out. What's he going to spend his money on?
An NFL team?
Oh,
desperately searching for an NFL team.
Continue to bitch him out.
That sounds just right.
Yeah. It sounds like he wants to buy the Redskins, but I can't see Snyder giving up the Redskins. No. Because you know if Bezos, if Bezos gets the Redskins.
I'll change that name.
Bye-bye Redskins.
Yeah.
It'll be Hello Washington Amazons.
Packages.
Whatever.
The packages. Packages.
And the logo's going to be a vest.
Or the drones.
No, it'll probably be the Amazons, and it'll just be their stupid logo.
The Amazons. That almost fits for a name. The Amazons, it can work.
That's a great name.
It would work.
But, you know, rather than say Jeff Bezos has too much money, would it be nice if he paid people a little more?
Yeah, fuck yeah. Come on.
Would it be nice if they had good medical?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be nice if they had matching 401k? That's what pisses me off is... First of all, somebody like Jamie Dimon, and I, you know, I hate the vilification of people who are successful, which I never knew it to be that way. That's really a recent phenomenon, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
People didn't used to vilify.
No, come on, they always hated the Rockefellers and the.
Well, sure, people always are jealous of, envious of, but I think beneath that, if you go back 20, 25 years, with most people, there's a genuine respect for people that are very successful. not, you know, he's successful, therefore he's an asshole.
I think it depends on how they got successful and what they're doing.
Well, yeah, of course it does. I mean, there's a million factors, but I think
it's a lot worse now probably because of the inequity.
I don't think it's just the inequity. I don't think that's the only reason, but I think that's part of it.
Well, but they're giving, like back then, you know, they gave a lot of money back. I think they had to. Then the Carnegies and
the Rockefellers. The robber barons?
The robber barons.
I mean, they were horrible.
They were
probably worse than anyone.
Whoa, sorry.
So.
Well.
I know.
It's been an emergency.
How often does that happen? It was Marasso.
Damn it.
So.
Leave it to Joey Marasso to call during the show the one person who should know best.
No, we need to start.
CV text something. Maybe he's got breaking news.
I think he's replying to my text I sent him.
Oh.
Joe's calling. He likes to cross T's and dot I's.
Uh-huh.
So I think the response to my text is always going to be a call from him. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
He needs to call. He doesn't like to cover those things.
Are certain people who insist on phone conversations.
Very organized.
Do you have many people like that in your life, Trudy?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Do you find it frustrating ever?
A bit, yeah. And then I just want to have that, you know, wave my hand and go, just deal with it, will you? You know what to do.
Sometimes I feel like it could easily be handled in a text.
Yeah, that's true.
Charlie LaDuff, for some reason, it's not enough to text. Yeah. And
he's a performer, kind of.
I know.
In a way. But I just went through kind of a dip back and forth car negotiation, and I got a call from the person who didn't get my business early today.
Well, you did not answer that call, did you?
I accidentally did because I didn't know it was, you know, them calling, and I was
just recognize the number?
No. So I'm like,
fine.
And the person on the other is.
I would think you wouldn't answer a number you don't recognize.
What can I do for you, man?
No, I know, but you know what? It's weird. I've been getting all kinds of those predatory phone calls, and they all. You know, have the similar, like one says it's from Saugatuck. You guys saw that the other day. And local and spoof calls. And
someone might have yelled at it. Man, might have answered and yelled at him for you. I don't know who that person was.
And there's one from this woman who calls herself Nancy all the time.
Oh, Nancy sucks.
She's constantly
She's
calling.
A liar.
Whew.
Yeah.
And Joe just texted me, so let's see.
Nancy, as I call her.
Yes, true.
What exactly was it that he needed to call during the broadcast?
He had logos made up for merch,
nice.
Like special ones, and we were going back and forth as to what we liked about it and what we didn't like about. So he just said, are you cool with the Motor City one as is, or do you want to take away the pistons and put in mics? It's a long story. Do you want to see him?
You want me to take her clothes off?
Do you want to see him?
I'm not sure this is something that would... interrupt the recording of the show.
I don't. Maybe didn't know we started early. I don't know.
Hey, do you think you were going to go in the other room and discuss this?
Because we call him and ask him.
By the way, since rando stuff is going on, I met it. I was at All at Home. Have you ever seen that show? It's like a Menards for home goods.
I have not.
On Saturday, and I ran into Corey and Debbie, husband and wife, who are from.
Starting to sound like a shout out.
They listen to every show. On every show that we've ever been on.
I think they emailed me, by the way.
Did they?
I think they did.
Oh, they did.
What did they listen to?
You ran into them
at home.
Did they listen to CSX?
They were so cool.
And Detroit Sports Radio?
They listened to CSX. They listened to, the Sports Radio. They listened to us back on. Back on Riff. They listened to.
Drewcast.
The podcast. Very nice. On their way to their cottage. They're like, both of them, like, together. And it's cool to see, you know, usually it's one or the other. Both of them are locked in. And they have
your boy T-Maz ready to step up to the mic. Sounds like it's time for a
shout out.
He sold a car. It's your birthday. You're a celebrity.
Go ahead,
how's your grandma?
They were just so enthusiastic. And anyway, whatever.
Shout out worthy.
Hi, Corey.
That's the word you mean.
Yep.
But yeah. No, and thanks for the email. And I appreciate the emails. And by the way, do know this. Drew at Drew and Mike Podcast, Trudy Dan at Drew and Mike Podcast, Mark M-A-R-C.
Wait, Drew and Mike is it Trudy Dan? No, it's just Trudy at Drew and Mike Podcast.
She agreed with you because
she wasn't paying attention?
I was thinking of your Twitter, maybe.
No, I was looking at Trudy Dan on Twitter.
I have his email number if you want me to give it to you.
No, you're right.
At Brandon? At Brandon? Brandon.
Brandon. At Drew and Mike.
But you have to capitalize the D or else it won't go through.
Incorrect.
So, yeah. And somebody today was asking about the Amazon portal. Doggone it. What was that question? This is the time. This is 'tis the time of the season for the Amazon portal. Usually we get a big bounce, which really helps around the holidays. And somebody had an Amazon question today that was over my head.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, you know, people always have trouble using the portal for some reason.
Well, sometimes if you're in a private browser, it will not open. But the easiest way is to just go to drewandmikepodcast.com or drewandmikeshow.com. And on the right-hand side, right underneath our advertisers, you will see a link, two of them. One will say Amazon and one will say Amazon Canada. All you got to do is click on it. It opens up your Amazon. It'll open up your app. And that's all you need to do. You shop from there and we get a nice little kickback without any surcharge to you.
It doesn't hurt to go back every once in a while and click on it again, because if you might click on another one, because all it is putting a cookie on your browser.
Yep. Diverts it to that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, do you know that when you say as easy as that is, and it gives us a little boost, if the entire audience used the Amazon portal,
yeah,
that's great. That's probably all we need.
Great.
Really? I mean,
well, think of what that total would be. Let's just say, let's go on the low side. Let's say the audience is 125,000. That'd be really a very conservative estimate. What do you think people spend on the average on Amazon? I mean, that's a ton of money.
Mark alone.
I know. My God, I don't know what. If it was for Amazon and Costco,
yeah,
I don't know what I would do.
Yeah. Well, we get.
You got dog food in the mail from Amazon the other day. Was that Amazon?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I was very impressed.
How about that?
I told him, I said, before you know it, you're going to have a Costco membership. And you scoff loudly.
No.
By your anti-Costco.
Well, I just can't see myself in that store.
I couldn't see you in that store either.
Keith wanted to know, let's see, the shop Amazon link on the website does not show up when using Firefox or Safari. I think a few months ago it was working. I would love to use this link every time I shop Amazon, which, like most, is more than it should be. But I use Firefox exclusively, and I cannot.
So Firefox does have a lot of blockers. So I'm guessing that's why. I use Safari. It's on there.
I love the show. I want to help out. Is there something I'm doing on my end that prevents the link from loading? If not, if it's not an issue on my end, hopefully it can be fixed. Oh, boy, Keith. Well, thanks for trying.
Well, also, if that link's not working for you, right there on our main page, there's the bar. It says Home, How to Listen, Donate, the Red Shovel Network shows. And then right next to that one is Drew's Favorite Things. If you click on Drew's Favorite Things, you'll see a bunch of the stuff that we've talked about. You don't necessarily have to buy any of these items, but when you click on it, boom, it's also activated so you can do your shopping from there.
Cool.
Oh, I put some O'Reilly stuff on there for you.
Oh, good.
I don't know if that's the breathalyzer he uses, but it looked like a nice one. And then there's
A breathalyzer.
The thing he puts on the back of your wallet for your reading glasses.
Oh, yeah.
Why is there a random $7 mouse?
Loves that.
Because I bought it, and so I wanted to put it on the Favorite Things. Why not?
This is also a good way to see the books. We get a lot of emails and comments from people saying, hey, I would love to see a Drew's book club. Well, one of the things we do is every time Drew reads a book, we throw it on here. So you can actually scroll down pretty far back, a couple of years, I think, and see some of the books that we've discussed for a while.
I'm going to pull some out of the woodwork, too, some older ones, just to put them up there because they're still good. They're maybe not up exactly to date. But, you know, Anthony Kiedis did a...
Right, Scar Tissue.
Biography. What was it?
That's a great book.
2008 or something?
It was 2004.
It was, even 15 years ago. It's still a great book, though.
And if you read that together with Flea, it kind of completes the whole...
The Flea book just takes you up to where Anthony kind of starts, because Anthony really... Yeah. Mostly about his career.
Right. But if Flea's like, well, I've got more stories, I could do a part two. That'd be years from now.
Chrissy Hynde did the same thing. She wrote her book up to The Pretenders, and the whole book, I was like, when's The Pretenders coming? God, there's hardly any pages. I was getting really bummed. And then I'm like, what? This book was about just up to The Pretenders? I want to read about The Pretenders. The fuck is this?
A lot of stories about Akron, Ohio?
There were some. There was a lot about her time in England. When she was a journalist, she was writing about music. She ran about the music business.
Oh, how cool.
How many pages on Ryan White did she have?
Less Elton John. I'm regretting saying I'm Ryan Whited out. I mean, I didn't mean...
Oh, come on.
Especially since it's Whited out. It sounds like, you know, white out.
But he he died, what, no one should 30 ever years say, ago?
He died in 1990. Yeah.
Please tell me someone before me has said I'm Ryan Whited out. Please.
Oh,
possible?
I got a feeling Elton John at some point was Ryan Whited out.
He didn't sound like it. I mean,
oh, you know Jackson was.
Probably. Yeah. Okay. And it wasn't anything about Ryan White.
I'm so Ryan Whited out.
That phrase does not come up when you search
Ryan Whited out.
I was just weary. I know the story. It's terribly sad. And I'm so glad money was raised on his behalf. But I was just...
He didn't do anything wrong.
Ryan Whited out. I was just kind of a little weary of the topic.
Oh, I know who said it. Probably his editor. Elton's editor probably... And like I tell you, I'm really Ryan Whited out.
Yeah.
Gotta get rid of some of these pages.
Man, they might have, if they shortened it, they could have shortened it a little more. Saying,
you know. He had a tough run there, though. You know.
He did. No,
very
I feel
sad
for him.
Story.
No reflection on him and what happened to him.
Blood
poor
treatment
guy.
Led to the HIV, and they only gave him like 6 months to live.
Yeah. No, it was terribly sad. That's why it's
and
easier.
He was treated like shit, too, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. He was bullied like all
you're gay.
Hell.
And he didn't catch it from any kind of homosexual activity. He caught it.
Like 13.
Not that it should matter. But see why I'm Ryan Whited out? I mean, you start getting into it, and it's like, oh, God, it just hurts to talk about it.
Yeah. That reminded me, because it's got Magic Johnson listed on the thing Brandon's looking at up there. What was the tweet that Tom Mazzaway liked, Brandon? Do you remember what I'm talking about? Someone send it to us? Yeah, I think it was on the anniversary of Magic attaining the HIV virus.
Oh, yeah, Magic.
Someone screen captured a picture of their Twitter because it said, Tom Mazzaway likes it's Magic Johnson attains the HIV virus.
Magic Johnson had tweeted out, hey, it's been, here's my anniversary of when I attained it.
Tom's like, way to go, way to get AIDS.
I have attained the AIDS virus.
Magic Johnson, what has he done?
I like that, you got AIDS.
I can't believe I'm reading this. This is breaking news. This is Red Shovel Network breaking news. It really is.
Oh, Red Shovel Network.
I think it is.
Hey, this right here is some breaking news from the Red Shovel Network. And shit.
Keep Walter ready, though, because I think we're going to have some ABNN breaking news, too. Anthony Brown News Network.
Antonio.
The longtime host of Coach's Corner, Don Cherry, will not be back following inflammatory comments he made over the weekend regarding new Canadians.
He's fired!
Would you like to hear what he said?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, you go to the small cities, and you know those, the rows on rows, you people love, you that come here, whatever it is, you love our way of life, you love our milk and honey, at least you can pay a couple of bucks for poppies or something like that. These guys pay for your way of life that you enjoy in Canada. These guys paid the biggest price. Anyhow, I'm going to run it again for you great people, and good...
No, wait, you pause for a second.
That's it.
Can someone translate that into American?
What's poppies?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Pay for a couple of poppies?
Well, a lot of it, you people. Let's
see. Is it poppy like...
Who is he talking about? I don't even know.
Well, he's talking about immigrants in Canada, the new ones, I believe.
He's trying to show them the ropes.
Are poppies... Is that a thing? You know how Brits wear... Isn't there a flower for World War One that they wear? Is there something associated with that?
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Is that what he's got in his...
I honestly don't know.
This is already too confusing to cancel him over, in my mind.
Yeah.
But I'm not Canadian, so maybe I don't get it. But let me just read what they said. Following further discussion with Don Cherry, after Saturday's broadcast has been decided, it's the right time for him to step down immediately. He made divisive remarks that do not represent our values or what we stand for. Don is synonymous with hockey. He's played an integral role in growing the game over the past 40 years. Like, thank you for his contributions. Though he had been branded xenophobic, his comments did not come back to hurt him until Saturday night when he went on a rant during his first period intermission segment, saying he's seeing fewer people wearing poppies to honor fallen Canadian soldiers. Singling out those he believes are immigrants in Toronto and Mississauga.
Mississauga, yeah, home of the Michigan basketball? Nick Stauskas, isn't he?
Oh, that's right.
Mississauga.
You know, I was talking.
I deserved a bloop.
You know, I was talking to a veteran, and I said, I'm not going to run the annual Remembrance Day montage anymore because what's the sense? I live in Mississauga, and nobody wears. Very few people wear a poppy, said Cherry. Downtown Toronto, forget it. Downtown Toronto, nobody wears a poppy. And I'm not going to. And he says, wait a minute. How about running it for the people that buy them? Now you go to the small cities, you know, the rows on rows you people love that come here, whatever it is. You love our way of life. You love our milk and honey. At least you can pay a couple bucks for a poppy or something like that. These guys paid for your way of life that you enjoy in Canada. These guys paid the biggest price.
So he's saying,
why don't these sports guys just talk about sports?
Yeah, he's saying, hey, to all the new Canadians, you guys need to honor our veterans in a way. And he used the term "you people," which angers some folks.
Oh, that is.
Is that
very fragile? Reason to fire him. I don't know.
That's what I was thinking, because Don Cherry has said a lot of stuff about a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, particularly, he was always hard on the Russian hockey players.
Oh, yeah. You thought they were soft.
Europeans. Yeah. And that was always, I always took that as kind of a bit of shtick, too.
It's all,
I mean, I think he was saying something, but I don't know. Are you guys surprised
by that? Isn't that why they hire him? Surprised by what? Does. That he said it or that they fired him for it?
That they fired him.
Yeah, I am.
First of all, he's standing up for fallen people who fought.
Veterans. Oh, I know. Which is good.
That, and that's...
Do a lot of immigrants watch hockey night here?
Well, but isn't that typical, Mark? Let's just say that they didn't. And so...
I don't know.
People then play this for them. Hey, does this bother you?
Oh, to make them mad when they weren't before.
When you say something... I mean, it could be this show. It could be on any show. Seems that the standard is always for the people who would be most offended, you know... That's what should be allowed on your show.
Like Justin Trudeau going
to... Even though they would say, maybe we'll get the answer in a few months when he appears on a Facebook TV show and talks to a bunch of little kids about it.
Even though...
the go-to place for all Canadians.
If none of the people offended would ever listen to Hockey Night in Canada, somehow still the outrage is measured by the most outrageable person possible. Was there a lot of complaints about what he said?
I don't know.
There must have been. I'm looking at some of the responses.
Is Canada more woke than we are?
Maybe they are.
Canada is, yeah. Canada's very woke.
I see a lot of comments here, and it's very, very, very split. There's people who want him gone, and hey, this is a long time coming. I'm glad he's out. But then there's also a ton of people who are mad that he's fired over this.
I will now boycott Hockey Night in Canada.
No, you won't. Don Cherry,
why are you going to do that to yourself if you like watching the games?
Don Cherry is a big part of Hockey Night in Canada.
Sure, I mean, sure, but so is the game.
Oh, sure, the game is. Of course it is.
Uh oh.
But
what? I even saw an OK Boomer.
What are they responding to?
Oh, he's responding to this guy who said, once again, a cultured society want to cry and complain over words that were not directed at any culture, but a society as a whole. It's too bad, media. Always, and few dictators make it worse than it really is. And then the response was, "Okay, boomer."
Boomer has just become the latest whatever.
Right.
Do you want to hear what Tom Mathis' responses to the story?
Sure.
Yes.
He commented or retweeted.
Did he like it?
He wrote, "Where's Jimmy the Greek when you need him?"
That doesn't even make sense.
It makes no sense. It makes zero sense. He got fired. Well, except that he got fired for comments, but they were vastly different comments.
Trudy, can you take care of a couple things?
Dr.
Yaldo and MyBookie, two important sponsors for us.
Yeah.
And I want to do some more homework on Don Cherry. I'm just surprised there isn't more outrage about him being fired.
Could he get a job here?
He's pretty old. How old is Don Cherry?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
He's
almost
iconic,
80.
No, isn't he?
Yeah, he is iconic.
Was he still as energetic in
I think so. Yeah, you know, especially when he's talking about immigrants.
He's 85 years old.
He's 85?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, that does suck.
They must have been looking for a reasonable amount.
Well, that's what I was getting at. Maybe some people will email me, some of you Canadians. We have a lot of people listening in Canada, by the way, which is great. Or some of you hardcore hockey fans who watch Hockey Night in Canada.
Yeah, careful saying you people when you Canadians.
I just wondered, are a lot of people sick of Don Cherry? Are, you know, Gen Zers and younger people, they feel like, get this old man off the air? Is it one of those things? Because I don't really know. I haven't really...
I don't know.
I've
heard that for years. I've heard people getting mad at him. The stupid suit shtick is getting really old.
And then as much as I've heard that, I've heard the opposite, is that he's revered because it's so woven into the fabric of people.
I thought he was pretty growing up. I thought he was revered, but I don't watch that much hockey now, so I wouldn't be a good person to make that judgment call. But hopefully some people drop us an email or comment.
We should ask Mickey.
Facebook Live. Mickey will be Mickey will not want to talk a lot about this one.
It's really interesting. I didn't see it more as anti-immigrant as I did pro-veteran. I mean, absolutely. He was really upset at the fact that people are forgetting
to respect people who fought for the country.
It really sounds like they were looking for something, or it was going to be something else soon. So anyway, take it away, Trudy.
Okay. Dr. Yaldo has supported the podcast for almost 2 years, and that means that he believes in us, and we've come through. Nearly 100 of you have gotten life-changing surgery from him on our recommendation, either custom CATS LASIK, the most precise in the world, or lens exchange for people 45-plus who can't stand reading glasses.
You can say that again.
Eye surgery is generally a well-thought-out decision. You deliberate for a really long time, and it's important to go with the best and most experienced, and he's number one in Michigan. Over 30,000 LASIK and tens of thousands of lens exchange and cataract procedures. And Dr. Yaldo does not sneak you in with promises of low-cost LASIK. There's a lot out there about this low-priced LASIK, but then you go and you find out what the real price is. If you've shopped for it, Dr. Yaldo promises Drew and Mike listeners that he will beat any LASIK offer that you get. So
that's
get the best.
Cool, I guess.
I am. Pay the least. The evaluation is free. 800-398-EYES. That's 800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. And during Thanksgiving week, my bookie is offering a risk-free bet.
Oh, Trudy, you're in the My Bookie. All
on
right.
The Bears-Lions game. Do you want to?
Oh, I don't. I mean, just go there. Well, no, read it.
Oh, okay.
So I still don't know how this deal works.
Well, I'll explain it. Well, like I'm discovering it all at the same time. Yeah. Choose a team against the spread for up to $250 if you win. Congratulations.
Do you know what the spread is?
No.
That's so cute. I know. That's really cute.
I knew you'd say that. I have a vague idea of what it is, but I actually couldn't explain it to anybody else.
I don't understand a word you just said.
Do you have to know it for my bookie? Or will they handle it?
Not if you want to bet the money line. You should know. Yeah, I think you're going to get it.
They handle it, right?
Along,
they walk you through it. Is, yeah, they will. What the charm of that was, wasn't it?
In a way, because when you make your bets and everything, you kind of they'll kind of walk you through, and you plug in your numbers, and it does a lot of things automatically for you right there in the upper right corner.
And so they're.
I can make that much money in 5 seconds.
Well, anyway, if you have extra holiday spending money, if you lose, congratulations to you as well, because my bookie will give you all your money back. It's a no-brainer because you literally cannot lose. It's no risk, all gravy.
Can I try it really quick?
Doesn't matter whether you're an experienced player or a first-time customer, my bookie welcomes all to come and play, so quit waiting around and sign up today. Do you find yourself wanting to sports bet but have a lot of questions like me?
That sounds pretty good.
Don't sweat it. My bookie has patient customer service people who can walk you through the process. And the best part is if you join us this Thanksgiving week, you'll still have one last shot to take advantage of their incredible sign-up offer. Just log on to mybookie.ag and make your first deposit with promo code...
Drew.
Thank you. And MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar to jumpstart your bankroll. And that's on top of the risk-free bet. So that's promo code...
Drew.
Yeah. So that's guaranteed. Deposit match.
You can say that again.
And a risk-free bet for Thanksgiving only. So if you're a true football fan, you do not want to let this opportunity pass you by. You simply can't lose. Make sure you do your part to support your team this season. Hop on the gravy train and get in on the action with MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid.
Like anyone can even know that.
Well, I know that Devin Singletary is now 46 yards away.
Really?
God, what a lock.
No kidding? I mean...
He's going to get sidelined like 1 yard short.
He better not.
You never know.
That's going to be the big boom on Drew's account. The big boom.
If
big,
you say so.
The big boom?
Yeah, because once that one hits, there's just money falling everywhere. I don't
really?
I don't know what to do with it.
Oh, Drew's account is going to make it rain?
Yeah, I'm going to find a way to take the money out of Drew's account. There's going to be so much money in there.
Yeah, right.
Why? If you have too much in there, is it?
Oh no! But there's
Brandon's
be so
winning
much
too
in
much,
there.
Judy. He's just winning so
He's
much.
Just winning
Devin
so
Singletary
much.
Bet is going to be so big.
What does it pay off? I mean, not the money you put in, but is it 110? Is it even money? It's an over under.
Let's see. I went
like if you put 100 down, do you get 120 back? Or
I'm gonna have to double check, but there's some good. It's a lot of money.
How is Drew's account doing?
It's doing well. Thank you for asking. I appreciate it. I don't have a definitive number, but I'm
that because he's back in the room. All of a sudden?
No, I was just wondering.
Okay.
The other he never gives concrete numbers.
No, I know.
Yeah, everything's fine.
He's
don't
super,
worry,
he's
don't
really
worry
big.
About
it. He's good
it
at that.
Sounds very iffy.
Don't worry about it. Everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Everything is fine.
Did you guys see that story about the Apple credit card? Is that fake outrage?
I don't get
there?
It. I think it is fake outrage, especially the way GMA presented it.
What's? Yeah. I don't even know what the outrage is.
Can I just cue up the GMA story so you can see how fake outrage it is?
The Good Morning America story about Apple cards?
The Apple credit card.
Do you know what the Apple credit card is?
No, I don't even know what that is.
You can sign up on your phone. It's just a credit card.
But it's kind of prestigious because it's metal and, you know, it's kind of like...
Fire Festival guy.
Exactly.
It's for douches.
Magnesium card.
Magnesium.
And it has an Apple just... That's it on the surface of it? Just an Apple?
On your phone, it'll show you where you paid everything, which is actually kind of nice because if you ever go through your credit card, you're like, what the hell is that thing? But it'll show you.
An Apple. It's a Magnesis card. Like that. Repeating anything that dope made up. What an idiot. God, I hate that guy. And I know he's going to steal from people. You just know it. He's not done.
When's he get out of prison?
I think soon. 6 years.
Oh, I bet he gets out sooner than that.
He will be separating people from their money in no time. Mm-hmm. It's still snowing like crazy, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah.
Great.
How many inches do we have so far? Anybody know?
I'll have to double check the...
It looked like, honestly, it was a good... 5 inches on top of my car.
Are you more than 7 inches?
How'd you measure that?
I don't know how I would.
Was everybody late at wheels today?
Oh, maybe you had a guy around.
Everybody was kind of. I mean, I only have 5 minutes to get to work, so.
Oh, you were late getting to wheels today?
No, I was not. I was just. It was difficult on 696. Everybody was really very slow, and I was.
Well, expect rain, turn into freezing rain, turn into sleet, turn into snow, and then melting in the summer.
It's funny, those first snow days at the radio station, nothing gets done. People stand at the window going, oh, my God.
Yeah.
We actually kind of got lucky with it being Veterans Day. There weren't a ton of cars on the road. So.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I do want to acknowledge our veterans on Veterans Day, of course. I feel like Veterans Day somehow falls short because maybe it's just me because I tend to think of it as like, oh, the banks are off. Mm. And then you see the one event. Shouldn't everyone be off on Veterans Day? I mean, to make it a real holiday?
Well, shouldn't there be more Veterans Days where people are helping instead of just one?
Yeah.
Where they're like, hey, you can go to Dunkin' Donuts for free if you're a veteran. Well, make sure you take your ID card.
Why is it that...
And not that's a bad thing on Dunkin' Donuts.
I bet there's plenty of corporate tweets about Veterans Day, which would be hilarious.
We know how much... Healthcare for veterans and care, how crap it is. Yeah, and VA hospitals are terrible. And there's always lots of lip service that, we're going to do something about it. And it never gets done. It's kind of in the classification of school teachers. School teachers should be paid more. Veterans should be treated better. We all know that to be true. But for some reason, it never happens.
So it's last on the list. There was a guy in Alabama. He's on oxygen.
We spend so much money on the military. We really can't afford to do that.
I know. But I think this was Good Morning America's, sort of heart-wrenching story where the guy is on oxygen, and I think he was in a wheelchair, and he was trying to get to his doctor appointment. He didn't have any other means, and so he decided he was just going to walk it himself 100 miles to the closest doctor for this guy, first of all.
Oh, man.
And then somebody picked up on it because I think he put it on social media somehow, and they gave him a ride there and a ride back, which was nice, but... The fact that he could end up in that predicament in the first place.
I found the Apple card story.
Okay. Lay it on me.
Prepare to be outraged, Drew.
Thank you. Turning now to Apple under fire this morning for its new credit card accused of being sexist against women, giving them much lower credit lines than men. Rebecca Jarvis is here, and Rebecca, regulators are already launching an investigation.
That's right, Amy. Yeah, this is raising many eyebrows as some very high profile individuals are calling out Apple for what they say could be sexist policies.
Uh-oh. Not high profiled individuals.
Oh, boy.
Their new credit card. Christ.
This morning, Apple backlash.
A credit card created by Apple.
The tech giant under investigation over allegations of gender discrimination. New York State regulators responding to complaints that Apple's popular new credit card, which uses an algorithm to assign credit limits, is favoring...
It's the algorithm's fault.
I was just going to say, that should be there. Well, we're going to adjust the algorithm, so everything's fine. Don't look
at it. Man, you done with that Apple car?
I'm done with that part. You want that?
And you know what? I hear that all the time, and it's the same way with...
Synergy?
Facebook and political ads.
Yeah.
that, you know, we can't do anything about it. Yeah, well, they rely on algorithms for everything. They don't have bodies. They don't have humans. I mean, and the thing that's so annoying is, you know, they could hire so many more people because they make a shit ton of money, but they don't want to. And so I really had two feelings about that. One, how dare they say, yeah, we're going to run fake political ads. We're not going to do anything about it. Too bad.
Right.
But on the other hand, it's like all political ads are fake anyway. They're all, I mean, people have been stretching the truth and bullshitting us for 100 years, 200 years, 250 years.
So why does it
really, haven't
more people
they?
On Facebook than it does on just regular TV. When you see it on TV, you're always like, yeah, whatever.
Well, plus,
yeah, I'm sure on Facebook it's probably worse and people probably give them too much credibility.
Is it easier to discern an ad versus a story on television as opposed to Facebook, too? And that's where people are getting their news from now.
It's, well, which is ridiculous. Ridiculous.
I know.
And
I don't get
it. It's amazing to me that in Facebook's world, they're not a publisher. So they don't bear any responsibility for what they publish. And whether it's 50 murders in Australia or fake political ads, oh, no, it's crazy. We just developed this thing. It'll publish anything from anyone, anytime, but we have no responsibility for whatever, you know, anyone publishes. And that's crazy.
Sorry, not sorry.
Did you watch the third story on 60 Minutes about the Philippines and Duterte?
Ugh, wow.
But that's the problem they have over there, too, is that the legitimate stories are getting drowned out by his social media stories, which is led by some former actress.
And yeah.
That, because that's how people get their news now.
Porn actress.
Here's,
right?
Yeah, I think she was.
Yeah.
Here's Apple, by the way, who you would think would be a real forward-thinking, progressive company.
But they have a sexist algorithm.
Sexist
algorithm. Great. What if Tim Cook came out and said, it ain't my fault broads can't get credit?
He doesn't care either.
Have your broads worked a little harder? Yeah.
Tim
Shorten
Apple.
Up the skirt a little bit.
Men over women.
I don't think Tim Apple would want them to.
No, he wouldn't
do that part.
He personally wouldn't.
Including one of Apple's founding fathers.
Oz!
Co-founder Steve Wozniak tweeting that compared to his wife, I got 10 times the credit limit.
But you was. He was.
I was just going to say that.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Everybody knows your name.
Well, we have no separate
bank or credit card accounts.
All right.
The same thing allegedly happening to software developer David Heinemeier Hansen.
Oh.
He says he got 20 times more credit than his wife, who he says actually has a higher credit score than he does.
Oh. Husband and wife applied for the Apple Card, and the husband ended up receiving ludicrously larger credit limits.
The tech giant launched the card this summer, touting it as created by Apple, not a bank, and promising transparency. But now critics say the algorithm used by Apple's partner, Goldman Sachs, is anything but transparent.
We simply were told, this is just how it is, and you just have to accept that.
Goldman Sachs responds.
You know what's interesting, though? They're not denying credit. It's just the limit's not as high.
We can't spend as much money.
That's discriminatory.
We're better at spending money.
I don't
understand.
But
is it? I mean, can we please know what the algorithm is doing?
No, God, then maybe you wouldn't understand it.
Did someone program the algorithm to give lower credit to women? It sounds like it, doesn't it?
Were they using statistics based on maybe a gender that does more credit card fraud? I don't know.
What?
I don't know.
Jesus, this is quite sexist, Don Cherry.
I'm asking.
I don't know.
Traditionally, guys had more purchasing power. That doesn't seem to be true anymore. It seems to have flipped.
I tell you what, in advertising, frequently it's, you know, we're trying to reach women.
Yeah,
they make the decisions. And sometimes
it's
on, you know, cars or something. I go, women decide that? Well, generally more so than you would think.
Yeah, because they care about what color it is.
In a statement writing, as with any other individual credit card, your application is evaluated independently.
Yeah, but what about
Woz? We look at an individual's income and an individual's credit worthiness, adding, we have not and will not make decisions based on factors like gender.
What was?
What did Jennifer
Aniston
get?
And the point here is also that if there is sexism, it can intentionally or unintentionally be a part of these algorithms. Keep in mind, algorithms aren't just determining credit limits in this case.
What?
They are determining credit limits in all cases. They're helping employers sift through job applications.
I've had it. Thank you. Fix it.
Are you outraged?
Well, it'd be nice to if they would tell us how this happened.
Yeah,
but
no,
just like
this happen.
Algorithm was just created, and it's crazy.
It's always been
it runs itself. That reminds me, though, of I think this story will interest people. It's about a religion class, and there's actually a lot of interesting stories today. I don't know if we're going to have time for this. He disagreed with a couple points. The teacher sounds like a very progressive-minded, likes to talk about male privilege and institutional sexism, and he said that he thought institutional sexism was sort of a bogus concept, and it was one of these challenging things like, oh, well, you know, what, because you just think so? And he said, well, I just read this thing in The Economist that declares that the idea that women make less for the same work is BS, and he cites some things in the story. Well, to me, that sounds like a good conversation.
Yeah.
In a class. I don't know why it's in a religious class or why you're talking about male God's privilege.
Like, don't drag me into this.
Male privilege in a religion class? I mean, what?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
What area is shittier to women than religion? I mean, seriously. Yeah. Doesn't it seem crazy?
Yeah. I didn't put that together.
I was watching this, of course. This Muslim wedding on TV, and well, don't ask me why I was watching a Muslim wedding, but I was.
It's a 90-day fiancé.
Yes, it was. This American girl is marrying this guy from Syria, and they need a witness, and her mother says, I'll be the witness.
Are you
serious? And they said, it's not going to work out. And they don't really explain it. It turns out that you need two women to equal one man to witness.
No, yeah, that didn't work out well, didn't it? That didn't work out well at all.
There was a guy there, and he was, and she's like, well, I'm here. Why does he have to do it? Well, you need another female to make up a male to witness the wedding.
At least there's a mathematical equivocation happening.
She wasn't too happy about it.
At least they're absolutely, we're zero.
But then the other
so ridiculous.
The other part of the story was, he said, and I was just reading, I don't know, some noted scholar of biology or something in biology where this guy was declaring that there are only two genders. There are not 72 genders. You either have a penis or a vagina. And so this kid challenged these two points, and the teacher, I guess, kicked him out of class and declared that he had to apologize to the class. He had to write a written apology, and he had to sign some other document. And so,
it's a little heavy-handed.
I thought it was a little. I mean, doesn't it sound like a good discussion?
Yeah.
For a class.
Yeah.
But apparently, this is so offensive that that will not even work for class conversation. It can't even be a teachable moment. It's so far over the line, and. Wow. They cited a number of, scientists who declare that there are two genders.
Goodbye, fucking shit fuel.
Not 72. There are two. But you know, whatever.
Scientifically, it's a binary thing.
It's an interesting conversation. I thought.
I guess the question is, can you switch genders? Can you be born? Do your genders have to match your genitalia?
That wasn't what he was talking about. Oh, she also said. Well. This is nothing that came up
with. This is the worst school ever. I mean, doesn't anything cool ever happen here?
Here's the quick audio of the argument.
Boys have a penis. Girls have a vagina.
Yeah. That's a professor?
Wow. No, that was the student.
Oh, that was a student.
Got in trouble.
He also objected to, apparently this teacher likes the word mansplaining. And
where did
he
want
to understand what mansplaining was. And
did they get a man to do it? I mean, come on.
In the end, he said, basically, anytime a man explains something, it's mansplaining and it's bad.
Oh, what a simplistic viewpoint.
Well, I'm not a big fan of the term mansplaining, to be honest, unless someone's being very
dick about it.
Well, the point of the that's
condescending.
The point of the word.
If you mean condescending
is what's the problem there. Yeah,
but I don't think that's to call it mansplaining. Isn't it just being condescending?
Yeah,
I mean, is it because he's a man that he's doing it?
Yes.
Does a woman never act condescending?
Never. It's never happened.
No. Okay. Oh boy.
Where did you see this article?
Oh, it's all over the place.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I thought it was. I think it was in the Daily Mail, maybe.
I saw the
kid. Oh, was it in Bro Bible? Bro Bible might have had it. They have a lot of bro-y stories.
Well, I saw the kid on Fox News. He's been all over the place.
Mm. Huh. That reminds me, speaking of arguments, We got another good one on Twitter.
Oh, great. Oh,
involving.
There's breaking news on Twitter, too.
Oh, what's that?
Matt Patricia was asked, why should you come back in his press
Oh, next
conference?
Year? Yeah. It's a good question.
I know, but you know he's going to answer it in a real generic way.
Every single day I come to work and I work as hard as I can to try to do everything
so do I
can to make this team better. You know, and I truly believe that this team is tough. I truly believe that this team goes out and fights every single day.
And that's not the question.
I think they work hard. And, you know, there's probably progress that I see that I think is encouraging that maybe everybody else doesn't see because we're judged by what we're
doing. No, you're right.
And that's
I don't see it.
There's no doubt about that. But, you know, like I said, I mean, for me, I come to work every single day. I work my butt off to try to do everything I can to help this team win.
That's what all head coaches do that.
24, 25.
Some win and some don't.
So with the one that replaces you will do that. What are you talking? Boy, that was a rambling answer.
That was
like anyone can even know that.
That was a load of feces.
I'm glad they asked him, though, even though you knew you wouldn't get an answer.
It's a good question. I thought Wojo had a great column today
on
the topic. He was talking about how, you know, don't blame Matt Stafford for this. Not blame Matt Stafford. As in, you asshole, you're injured. But blame the fact that Matt Stafford couldn't play. He was saying that half the teams in the NFL have lost a starting quarterback this year for a game or two. And some of them have had great success with their backup because they're next man up, ready to go. Well, the Lions really weren't. It seems that Driscoll did okay.
I thought he did fine.
Fairly pedestrian numbers, but it was not the kind of performance that was going to lead a team to victory. And the defense, which Chicago cannot score points. Chicago's offense the whole city has turned on the quarterback.
That was the problem with the game yesterday, was the defense.
And he managed to put together enough offense to beat the Lions yesterday. And Wojo was just saying, this is not something we're going to blame Matt Stafford for, the fact that he was injured, but rather the coach and the general manager, because this coach was brought in to provide defense, and we're 31st in the NFL in defense, and they didn't do enough to win that game.
He should fire Pasqualoni, Jerry Sandusky lookalike. Brandon, I think you're the one that pointed it out to me, and that's all I see now when I see him on the sideline. He looks like Jerry
Sando!
Have you ever seen him, Trudy? You want to see him?
No, I want to see him. I wonder if Sando sees the game in prison, and he's like, yeah, my avatar. Keeps going.
There's Pascal.
Oh, you're right. Wow.
Doesn't he look like Sando? God. Ski dog?
Yep. See, Sando sounds so much friendly. It's like...
What a cross to bear.
There's the image.
Johnny D.
I swear, whenever you say John Demjanjuk's name, it sounds like you sound like Dennis Rodman pronouncing Asian names.
It's a goofy name. Plus, if his defense had any sense, they would have just called him Johnny D. Johnny D's been over here. He's beloved by his kids. He's beloved by his grandkids. He's beloved by everyone in the neighborhood. Look at Johnny D's flowers. Look what a great garden he has.
Can't convict a Johnny D.
No.
It's too much fun.
So, Dick Marks...
Oh, yeah.
Dick Marks had the big Twitter battle with Bruce Wolf and Bruce Wolf's listeners, and it was amazing how deep he went into comments to go after people. So this guy, one of our
very
listeners,
petulant,
says, I guess I've been living under a rock for however long you've been a podcast. I was bummed when you went off at WRF, then you were on the radio again for a short time, then bummed me out again when that ended. Long story short, I found your podcast, and I'll be bummed again when it's over. So you had a podcast and mentioned Richard Marks and how he's tweeting crazy shit and actually tweeting people back, so I tested your theory. It took me 3 or 4 tweets to break his silence, but now I have him tweeting me back. If you read his tweets, he's just miserable. A lot of them say, ignorant as fuck. Everyone is ignorant as fuck. God forbid you like Trump also, because most of his tweets also include something about how he hates Trump. I tweeted something about how all his texts say, ignorant as fuck, and called him a one-hit wonder, and this set him off.
Oh.
He called me a no-hit failure. And then he called me a Trumpkin. So then I told him he's 5'8 with Daisy's heels on and called him a munchkin, turning his so-called insult to Trumpkin.
Oh, man.
His tweet back was, you'd be surprised. Maybe you'll find out sometime, except I don't hang out in third grade. I can guarantee you're tinier than me in every single way.
Oh, Marx has a big dick.
# complete failure.
Dick Marks is so...
complete failure. How does he know he's a complete failure?
Because he said
so. And how does he know that he's bigger in every single way?
What a childish boast that is.
My God.
Good one.
I mean, I really don't want to encourage people to seek out a fight with Richard Marx. I mean, that really wasn't the idea.
It sounds like he's always spoiling for a fight, too. Like a physical fight.
And he's...
He wants to bring it.
He has to beat you up 90 times so more angry. Than you beat him up.
If he's bigger than that guy in every way and he's so rich, why is he so angry?
I don't... You know, it really is... It's an interesting question, I think. And a lot of other people like him, too, but...
Is there any more to the argument?
Let's see. Well, I was just looking down. He actually sent me a screenshot. They're all consistent with this is Richard Marx. They're all consistent with the no facts thing. Ignorant as fuck. Plus, even if it was true, it'd be one more than this mouth breather could ever imagine. Hilarious. Then Dave comes in. Ha ha. 75% or more of Dick's tweets have the term ignorant as fuck.
Good one.
Richard Marx says, ha ha, says the no-hit failure who dug deep into my feed. Way to go, Trumpkin.
Did you guys see me win that conversation?
Trumpkin.
Is he touring? I gotta see if he's touring.
He's got a top 15, sure he says. So there was that little battle.
Wow. Oh, yeah, he's touring.
Oh, boy.
He's really kicking it back up in December, February 14th.
Oh, Valentine's Day.
At the MGM Grand.
Dick Marks. Right there.
Dick Marks?
Yep.
Here is another crazy story. There's really two crazy stories about famous people that I wanted to get into a little bit. The rapper T.I. We meant to talk about this on Thursday, but we just ran out of time. This story is so strange. He tells it on a podcast, which was a couple of female hosts, and I saw the picture from there. They're both very pretty. They look younger. Anyway, he, for some reason, went into this diatribe about how his daughter is a virgin and that every year on her birthday, he takes her to the gynecologist for a virginity test. And that she's 18 now, by the way. And he said the day after her 18th birthday, he said, time to go make sure you're okay.
God.
Went to the doctor, and after her pelvic exam, he asked the doctor to ensure him that her hymen was intact.
Oh, that's so abusive.
I mean, I know, I'm just, and these girls are laughing uproariously. I guess they thought
he was serious. So he's serious.
He was serious.
Really?
She was serious.
Nice trusting her, by the way.
Basically, isn't he really teaching her to take a knee?
Yeah, or give a lot of blowjobs. I mean, come on, there's too many doors to shut. You shut one door.
The horse left the barn a while ago.
What's the saying? If you close one hole, God will open another.
Seriously, though.
I think her mouth works, too.
But she's 18 years old. She is an adult.
Yeah. She's also smoking hot.
She is very cute.
But he acknowledges... Now, this is the part... For someone to be this way about any female, that's disgusting. I mean, Trudy, how appalled are you?
I'm pretty appalled. I didn't think T.I. was that rigid, first of all.
Well, T.I.
his own life, he's not at all, but...
He doesn't seem to hold himself to the same standards at all.
Super controlling.
I mean, this guy's been in prison. He's been arrested multiple times. He's busted his probation.
I just wonder, did he bang a lot of chicks?
It sounds to me like...
What kind of example did he say?
I don't know what his songs are like. Are his songs all about saving yourself?
Yeah.
See, I think this
you like
is,
that rubber band song, right?
Well, that's... Is that a good example of a T.I. song?
I think this is a T.I. song. I'm not sure if it is.
I think it is.
Sounds like it.
Some of them are hairy.
Sounds different.
It's auto-tune, Trudy.
Can't remember the hook of this.
Some are kinda scary, and this is what they're called.
Now, what's he talking about?
Vagina. Vagina. They call that thing vagina.
Your daughters, by the way, get out of it.
Top 10 on the R&B charts.
You know the old sugar daddy. They be tricking.
Is this T.I.?
Yeah,
this is a big song.
Yeah, it's not a bad song.
What's it about?
Well, get whatever you want.
Whatever you want.
Unless it's Wiener.
Unless you're my daughter.
What a dick. So now the females who hosted the podcast, have deleted the podcast.
What? That's just bad business.
The whole thing.
That's bad business.
I kind of thought so too, but I guess
they should be promoting it.
They were getting just mauled because they laughed at his comments. And people said, why are you, what are you laughing about? You should have been in his face. Well, you know, when you have a giant star on your show, I don't know who these girls are, but it's not a great position to be in. Not to mention the fact that who would think someone would bring this up? But anyway, so yeah, they have been just been taking mounds of crap. Huh. They deleted the podcast, and a lot of people are ripping T.I., including his daughter, who unfollowed him on social media. Get this. This is hilarious. Okay, the daughter unfollowed T.I. and her mother.
Whoa.
Followed her mother, too.
Well, did she unfollow the doctor?
I don't know.
I have a problem with the doctor.
I do, too. T.I. unfollowed his daughter. How stupid is this? This poor girl.
There's no way that Hyman's there
the
now.
The doctor.
No,
I would
no
like
way.
To know.
I mean, it's the ultimate act of getting back at him.
Who is the doctor? Who is the doctor that does this?
The Hyman doctor?
So fucked up.
See is that all he does is check Hyman? He's a Hyman checker?
Maybe.
He's a gynecologist.
Maybe he circumcises women, too. I don't know.
Oh, jeez.
I still can't get over that.
I can't believe doctors
that,
do that.
That whole ceremony.
Yeah.
That no charges, everybody's good.
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen? And all those people that supported it, that raised money for them. Yeah. Oh, it's just the weirdest story. I can't stand to talk about it. But anyway, T.I. also, I've forgotten this. Maybe it just never came up on the show, but he had said something about how he couldn't vote for Hillary Clinton because women can't be president. When
well, that he's right about that.
No. Women make rash decisions emotionally, and then he said, then later it's like it didn't happen.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I do not approve that message.
I feel like he's mansplaining to the podcast hosts.
But the bottom line is, in all of this, first of all, this story about the 18-year-old, can you imagine, I'm just trying to picture someone, not T.I., just someone else telling this story.
Yeah. And they'd be hammered.
Canceled. Wouldn't they be just canceled?
That never applies to musicians or music for whatever reason.
Why is that T.I. can say the dumbest things and it doesn't really, I don't know. I mean, it's not like he's really in the top of his career right now, is he?
He's still pretty good. I forgot he was in the Blurred Lines song, which his part of that song is pretty sexualized. So, I mean, he's got a lot of hits. I don't know what he's done lately.
Yeah, he's so into controlling women, but he's not into controlling himself very much. So
no, he doesn't control himself very well. And he also, this is
he's projecting.
It also angered people because he acknowledged that his 15-year-old son is banging chicks. Oh, he doesn't have a problem with that.
No, his 15-year-old son is destroying other women's hymens, and he doesn't care about other women?
I guess not.
Yeah.
Hymen.
I hope that 15-year-old knocks someone up.
Yeah.
Why though?
Well, then they'll just have grandbabies.
I mean, we have these incredibly woke people in Hollywood and in the arts. And for some reason, why is it that musicians just get a pass?
I don't know.
I mean, is it
because
strange?
We'd have no music left, basically. So
I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, who gets canceled?
What do you mean?
Who's going to get canceled in the music world?
Well,
R. Kelly.
Well, name any artist and they seem to have something.
Yeah, shoot.
I mean,
hell,
Miley Cyrus just had a thing about, what was her thing where she had to apologize about? Oh, about guys suck so that made her a lesbian.
Well, I don't think anybody's going to cancel Miley Cyrus over that. It's stupid. I mean, there's much worse things, though. I mean, first of all, just shooting people, it seems to me, would be problematic.
What?
Yes, killing people. Yeah. I mean, you could start there. That's a pretty select group of people.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, there are
a
number of artists who have shot and killed people.
Yeah, Snoop Dogg would be canceled.
Yeah. No, I couldn't stand a world where there was no Snoop Dogg.
It's just really strange reading the story
about what has he done since 1994?
Ryan Adams got canceled.
He's back. He's coming back, though, baby.
Yeah.
I think he's got a ways to go, though. I'm not sure that's going to be an easy one. But
well,
he's trying.
It's because his music sucks.
He kind of, well, he's got a lot of fans. I think, didn't he?
Yeah, Bentley.
Didn't he? He had a pretty, I don't know how good his apology was. He had an apology, though. And it wasn't just a whitewash, was it?
I don't remember.
No, I thought his apology was, I thought he was a dick.
He's a dick anyway.
Yeah, he said, no, he sounds like a real asshole. He said, just a major asshole.
To anyone I ever hurt, however unintentionally, I apologize deeply and undeservedly. But the picture that this article is painting on me is inaccurate. Some of its details are misrepresented, some are exaggerated, and some are outright false.
That's funny. Well, I've never heard Ryan Adams talk, but I got to believe you nailed it.
That's like a boilerplate apology. Yeah.
I would never have an inappropriate interaction with someone I thought was underage, period. That was his apology. No, so people didn't like it.
I thought, honestly, that Mandy Moore, as much as I love her as a unit of measure, that her whole complaint about him was that he was a bad husband. Mm-hmm. I don't know why she'd be canceled because Mandy Moore had a bad marital experience with him. She was married to him for 9 years.
Yeah, but there were other things with him.
Oh, yeah, there were. But Mandy Moore was a big part of it. It was like, see, even Mandy Moore agrees. She married him. Why was she married to him for 9 years? She said, like a lot of these people seem to do. I mean, it's disgusting the way these people take their position, like R. Kelly. I'm going to make a singer out of you. And Ryan Adams does the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it to Mandy Moore. And then, you know, he would
At least he held up his end of the bargain.
Mandy Moore, though, he never produced a record for her, I don't think. He kept telling her he was going to.
So he met her after her big hits or whatever?
Yeah.
She was a kid.
Her thing was acting. Her thing is long over.
Yeah.
That's like, did you see Lindsay Lohan put an album out?
Oh, God.
Boy, isn't that the biggest...
That's stupid!
Isn't that just a joke? She really thinks she's going to have a hit record now?
I want to hear some of it. I bet
I bet it's good. It's got to be good, right?
I'm sure it's wonderful, Trudy.
It's Lilo.
Ugh.
All right. Here's her new song called...
Is this really?
Xanax.
That's a little transparent.
A picture from 10 years ago.
Sounds pretty good.
Her albums did well when she was quote unquote hot.
At least it's not processed. Just to do it all over again. Oh, looking for you. Only one reason I came here. Two.
Is she making this song up as she goes along? I mean, does this kind of sound like that? Yeah. Is that possible?
Yes. Get to the hook. What do those two have to do with each other?
Oh, okay, so sounds like a number one hit record.
Hear the hook.
That was it.
Sounds like a number one hit tune, all right.
Yeah, exactly.
The hook is her having social anxiety, I take Xanax.
Lindsay Lohan has got the stinkiest, f***ing sweaty, orange vagina anyone has ever seen. I haven't seen it, but it s*** out Breckles. It's orange.
I hate
and
this
it
part.
Smells like diarrhea.
Paris Hilton's laugh.
Best thing Paris ever did.
Before I came down, there was news. It was sort of breaking news, not really, but kind of sort of. DTJ was speaking at UCLA today, and the crowd just starts chanting Q&A, Q&A, and people are screaming at him, people are screaming for him, and it's just, and Kimberly Guilfoyle is on stage with him, and it's just a cluster bleep.
She defended him.
Who, Kimberly?
Oh, you didn't see?
She's his girlfriend.
She took him over. She fought his battle for him.
Of course she did.
And he's getting ripped on for being...
letting her fight a battle.
Well, here's...
For that and for being triggered.
Here's what was so...
When you got to fight your boyfriend's battles for him.
Here's what was so strange.
You want to hear the audio?
Okay.
You're not making your parents proud by being rude and disruptive and discourteous. We are happy to answer a question. Respect the people around you so that they can hear. You don't play by the same rules. Let me tell you something. I bet you engage and go on online dating because you're impressing no one here to get a date in person.
Yeah!
We
What kind of point was that?
I know.
How dumb was that?
Just a shot at their
incelism.
Yeah. Meanwhile, as I'm watching this thing, and they went live to it, which was kind of weird. It's like, wait, Donald Trump Jr. is speaking at UCLA, and
we're going live. Who went live to it?
CNN.
We'll do it live.
They did?
Yes.
We'll do it live.
I don't know.
I thought this happened yesterday.
Here's what. I could have sworn it was live. Maybe it was yesterday? Can you look it up? Because I'm curious. I thought it said live on the screen.
Well, some tweets.
There were protesters outside the building.
Yes.
So that may have been why it was deemed newsworthy, because there were a lot of protesters who couldn't get in because it was jammed. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, the idea that DTJ would create this giant traffic jam is just so stupid to me. But anyway. So meanwhile, while people are chanting Q&A, there's also people chanting USA, USA. And I'm trying to figure out, what is this crowd?
Well, and Turning Point USA is the one that put it on. And they're a right wing. They're very big on college campuses.
But it's
campuses.
At UCLA.
Yeah, no, they're big on campuses.
Obviously, the people who don't like DTJ heard about it, and they were angry, and so they were outside protesting, unable to get in, I guess.
Right, but white nationalists.
The problem inside was the even further right from Turning Point USA, the American firsters who believe the Trump administration
doesn't go far enough.
Yeah,
they want tighter immigration. A number of things. But that's what I mean. You're listening to this crowd that seems so angry, and then it's like, oh, there's people from the left who hate Trump, and then there's people on the far right who don't think Trump goes far enough, and none of them apparently are going to let DTJ speak, which
almost
doesn't exactly break my heart.
It almost seemed like it was a battle between the right and the extreme right.
Yeah,
I think it was. That was most of the noise.
I got to tell you, out of all the chants, Q&A is right up there with SEC.
Q&A. I know, it was so stupid.
He didn't want to take questions, which, why wouldn't he?
I don't know.
Oh, because he knew that there were going to be, there were going to be awkward questions. He said they like answering questions usually, but
I'll tell you, Trudy, I said it yesterday. Maybe you heard it. I think DTJ is going to be the nominee from the Republican Party eventually.
No way.
I don't know what year. You don't think so?
I just think he's so hated. I don't see a lot of people that are, really pro DTJ and say, hey, man, did you catch him the other day? He really killed it.
But if they're pro Donald Trump, aren't they pro Donald Trump Jr.?
He's the next logical
step. I mean, that's kind of what I would never call the Trumps royalty, but, like the Clintons, like the Bushes, I think they would like that to happen, and I think he would run if he thought he had a chance.
Oh, yeah.
Why not Ivanka?
I think Ivanka over DTJ.
Well, that's possible.
Well, no,
I'm not sure she's combative enough, though.
She's not combative, but
she's not going to get T.I.'s vote.
Dude's going to go, oh, she's hot, so.
Hey.
She's hot. What?
Are we that dumb?
Yeah, Don Cherry. Know.
Probably.
I think if a female had a chance to win, or if a female has a chance to win, she maybe? I don't know. I don't know. She's not her father, though. I would think DTJ, if Trump is still popular whenever he goes away.
She's not fiery.
I'm not guaranteeing it. I'm just saying I could see him.
Aren't there other people who can run for this office?
No.
In the early polls, when Bloomberg announced he was interested, they polled him, and he had a 6% lead on Trump. But
he's also the least favorable Democrat in the race when you add him.
Already?
Yeah, well, there's name recognition there. I would vote for Ivanka just so Jared could be first man.
Jared, what is Jared doing these days?
Nothing. He's on every commission. He's supposed to be fixing everything.
His name is Jared.
I literally approved the arrest of Khashoggi. That's fun.
Did you see there was another bombshell?
That wasn't a bombshell?
That wasn't a bombshell. Yeah, that's the newest.
What's the new bombshell?
Bombshell that isn't a bombshell. Nikki Haley was like, hey, we're peeking down the
bottom. Oh, about her being asked to help save the country by
Tillerson. And
trying to undermine him.
She's cute, too.
Who's the other one?
She's cute.
She's all yours.
Layla wants this over
with. Wasn't it rumored that Trump nailed her or something? Wasn't she the one that...
Really? Was it Nikki Haley?
Wasn't there a rumor in Fire and Fury that he...
had an inappropriate something with a female. And I thought everybody
thought
pointed.
I thought that was the young hot, girl. The young 29-year-old hottie,
Hope Hicks.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. Why I thought that was insinuated.
She was
to be.
Okay,
gorgeous.
Yeah, Nikki Haley was governor of South Carolina. Yeah. South or North? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Oh, that's Nikki Haley right there, isn't it?
I think she's you know pretty cute for a politician.
Pretty cute. So anyway,
today on
she wrote yours. A book though.
It's I don't kinda, hate her. I'm just letting you guys have
her book is kind of tattletale-y, isn't it? Though she's like those guys.
Yeah, yeah. It is. If you
but
were
I
that,
was his.
She was that concerned that this was treasonous. It seems to me, isn't there a way besides waiting for a book to get published all these months?
Here it is, by the way. While being interviewed on Fire and Furious Publicity Tour, Michael Wolff told Bill Maher that he was absolutely sure Presidential Trump was having an affair and said that a close reading of his book could reveal who the partner was based on a passage from Fire and Fury. Remember that tome?
Yeah.
Some observers believe this was a reference to Nikki Haley.
See, at the time, I thought it was a reference to Hope Hicks.
Well, I think there were rumors about Hope Hicks. He certainly liked Hope Hicks, but anyway, I don't know. Enough of him. True Crime Tuesday. John Norman Collins.
Oh, yeah.
The Michigan murderer.
Johnny C.
From 69. He was the Eastern Michigan student who they believe killed 5? Question mark. Maybe more. Maybe less. But he, who won't seem to talk to anyone, because everyone, including Rob Walchek, who just did that long series, 3-day series on the Michigan murders.
There's good information with Rob on one of the past ML Solo Detroit podcasts. That's worth checking out.
But he won't talk to anyone. He doesn't seem to write anyone back. So he suddenly writes the Free Press. And the reason he wrote the Free Press is because a couple letters that he wrote to his cousin, and this is interesting. His cousin was 10 years old in 1982, and he finds out that, oh, my cousin is in prison, and, you know, you should write him, you know, sort of pen pal. Wouldn't that be a nice thing to do? I think that's sort of how it started. So he starts writing John Norman Collins, the Michigan murderer. I mean, one of the most frightening people this state's ever seen, and maybe more frightening than we know, because there's probably 5 murders that you can safely say he's involved in. He's he committed.
Plus the one in California.
Yeah, the one in California. And there's some DNA testing going on that may actually close the door on some of those. And you can actually get a specific number. But there's a bunch of other ones that they think he certainly is a possibility. So anyway, the cousin has 30 years of letters from John Norman Collins, this mass murderer, this serial killer. And in the letters, they said he shows a domineering personality, misogynistic views, and also that he's got a lot of anger at his mother, which he, by the way, he goes out of his way to say how much he loves his mother. And I noticed that anything that seems to have been bred from these letters, he has somehow managed to talk his way around or say the exact opposite to someone else.
So that's his tell?
The letters seem to be kind of interesting. For example, this kid is in his teen years, and he asks, this is pretty weird, he asks John Norman Collins for dating advice. He's a shy teenager. And, you know, he's got this older guy.
He's a ladies man.
Good-looking guy who was kind of a ladies man. And I don't think he knows. I got the impression he didn't know he was in prison for murdering women.
Well,
so Collins,
age, maybe not.
Collins gives him graphic, sexually explicit advice in this letter, including the fact that some women like it real rough.
Oh.
Jerk.
Which is... I know. I just don't think he probably should be saying anything about the topic or saying anything graphic.
Well, he never thought it would get in someone else's hands.
But he, that's just it. The last letter is from 2013, where Collins blames a friend of his for killing this one girl.
Oh, nice friend.
And Collins claims that he met her, they went to the wig shop. I mean, this story's been told and told and told. Yep. And then got on his motorcycle and drove to his uncle's house, which is where the one murder was discovered that blew the doors open on this case because someone had repainted the basement floor for no reason.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And there was blood underneath.
There were also hairs that...
So Collins claims curly. That he took this girl back to his uncle's and that his friend came over, a friend named Davis came over, and Collins went to get something for his motorcycle, and when he came back, Davis is like, oh, something went wrong. I was trying to get it on with her, and I just snapped. Mm-hmm. And here's this new dead body in the basement. And so Collins, being the great friend he is, I mean, he has murdered someone, but maybe that's why he's
still a bro.
Yeah, he knows he's got to help get rid of the body, and then he ends up getting blamed for it. I mean, how crazy is it that he's killing four other women, and he happens to walk in on this murder his friend committed?
It's just an assist.
And what's even worse is that Collins, before the friend got there, Collins had started trying to fool around with her, and she had said that she had a boyfriend, but they were making out, and apparently blew up on her panties. Crazy. And anyway, when the friend disposed of the body, he didn't want to leave anything around, and he stuffed the panties in her mouth and hit John Norman Collins' semen on.
Oh, well,
so he came up with a DNA test. I mean, how's that for a crazy coincidence? You have a guy who's murdered four other girls, and he just happens to blow up in this girl's panties. The friend snaps. The friend doesn't even know that Collins was hitting on her. He comes over. He starts hitting on her. The poor girl's worn out. Get away from me. And the guy snaps.
Wow.
So.
Wow. Of all the bad luck in the world, too.
Man.
So stupid. What a ridiculous story. And then stuffing the panties in her mouth.
That's what I mean. Were the panties, and I mean, wouldn't even think about the semen on there. Yeah, they didn't have DNA testing back then. And reading all these Free Press stories, it's a really good series they did, but they're talking about, you know, the detectives going back up and trying to get more out of him to solve some of these unsolved murders.
Yeah.
My favorite part was, on one visit, the detectives brought Collins photos of his motorcycle.
Oh, yeah, which he got off on.
Totally got off on.
And begged for a copy of the picture, which they arranged with prison authorities that he could have it.
Trudy, check out how cool Johnny C. thinks he is on that bike.
Oh, my God.
And he got hard when he saw that picture of himself.
God. What helped him lure these women in.
Wow.
Really fascinating reading the letter he wrote, too, to the Free Press. It's,
yeah, I've got it sitting in front of me. Yeah. He misspells the word butt, B-U-T-T, he as also, in like a butt.
Not to be picky, but he does overuse quotation marks.
And is LOL appropriate for John Norman Collins to use?
He's a jokester.
In a letter? I mean, really. But, you know, I have to admit, I got pissed because they kept talking about how hot he was. Yeah.
Oh, no.
So handsome. And then apparently he was kind of buff, and I guess he took pictures for a magazine with his shirt off.
Oh,
did
my
you
God.
See that?
No, I didn't.
He's a model?
Oh, disgusting. So this guy, you know, obviously could have, you know, by conventional means, had plenty of girlfriends. I mean, he is
it's
a
not
real
about that.
Sick fuck. So in a rare letter to a news outlet, John Norman Collins, one of the state's most notorious murderers, wrote to the Free Press on Tuesday. The killer responded to questions about what law enforcement officials had discussed with him in interviews and two never-before-published letters that he had written his cousin in Canada, the one I was just talking about, that offer new details about what happened to the victims in the late 60s. Now, the funny thing about the letters they wrote in 2013 where he describes, you know, I blew up on her fucking panties and ends up biting me in the ass. What do you know?
Well, look.
My asshole friend Davis just snaps like 40 minutes later. It's crazy. But he claims that he wrote the letters to his cousin knowing that he would share them with law enforcement. So he was fucking with law enforcement.
What a genius.
I know. He always, I've noticed this
He's
about
always
him.
Five steps ahead of everybody.
Yeah, he always.
Except for the panty part.
Has to somehow create the scenario where he's the smartest guy in the room. He's always, and he
like
never
a lot
is.
Of murderers.
Yeah, and they usually are very smart. In interviews and letters, Collins recants statements that he had made since he was arrested, including that he never met Karen Sue Bieneman, the 18-year-old college co-ed he was convicted of killing. Collins declined an interview through Michigan correction officials. Subsequently, the Free Press sent him three letters, one in July, one in August, and the most recent one November 1st, through JPay, a privately run electronic mail system tied directly to his inmate account. In addition to direct correspondence, Free Press also... This is kind of a wordy explanation, isn't it? Also asked the wife and son of one of Collins' late attorneys, Neil Fink, to reach out to Collins. The email is distinctively Collins, according to detectives, with the unusual capitalization, odd spellings, and even a text emoji in an LOL or two, text speak for laugh out loud, as if we don't know that. So he writes to Neil Fink's son. Hello, Frank. The only reason I'm responding to your email is out of respect for Neil Fink. Well, back I was contacted by Neil Fink's wife, Mrs. Kimberly Stout, and she told me of his death of cancer in 2016.
Why does he sound like a like he's writing an editorial to People?
She also mentioned they had a son by the name of Wade who followed in his father's and his mother's footsteps and became an attorney. How evolved of him to mention his father's and his mother's footsteps as far as becoming an attorney? That?
I found the picture, the model picture.
Oh, that's him?
Yeah, he's in a Speedo.
Pretty buff.
He is buff.
Why is he sticking his pelvic
he thinks he's so hot. He's not
Is he exaggerating?
Oh, no, that's all him, Trudy.
Yeah.
He's not hot. I'm sorry. I declare him not hot.
You're going to need a letter.
Hey, not hot. And he's thrusting his pelvic area.
Yes, he is thrusting his...
Yes, for the photo.
It's a good stance.
Will you concur, Trudy? Not hot.
Not hot.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, he's congratulating him on following his mother's father and his footsteps as an attorney. Of course, his dear mother said that he was a very good attorney. Then you also mentioned Wade in your email, so I felt somewhat obliged to at least give you a brief response, since you've been kind of a pain in the ass with your persistence, LOL.
It's a little psycho.
You brought up,
by the way, only was in quotes and so was pain in the ass. I don't understand that, but whatever.
You brought up those two letters, in quotes, that I sent to my cousin John Chapman, who in turn gave them to Greg F., who's an investigator.
No, that's the guy we interviewed, isn't it? Fournier, who wrote the book?
Oh, the author, right. Yeah, well, the authorities eventually got them.
Yeah, yeah.
And had great interest in them.
Mm-hmm. I know Walchek saw the letters, too.
I must admit that I didn't think they would become such a focal point, in quotes, and also capitalized, after 50 years, but, B-U-T-T, knowing Greg's enormous ego for media attention, all caps, I knew that he would want to capitalize, all in caps, on anything, all in caps, he could gather up on me, caps.
What?
His enormous ego, caps. Rivals the Grand Canyon, caps. But, caps, otherwise, but in caps, B-U-T-T.
It's enormous ego.
I know, he's really stuck on that.
As big as the Grand Canyon.
Rivals the Grand Canyon, but his big mouth, also in caps, manages to surpass that. He has been using me, all caps, as a catalyst to lure, L-U-R-E. Fuck. Lure unsuspecting women into his private chat room in hopes of scoring with them. So, of course, he turns it to sex, as he frequently does. Yeah, everything he sees in some kind of sexual
context,
sexual politics or sexual negotiations.
That's what he would do. So,
yeah, probably. This comes from the women, capitalized, that have told me about how he likes to take photos, all caps, with all the with all the women so that he can put his arm around them.
Yeah, well... It's very Me Too.
I don't know what we're yelling about.
He's trying to Me Too him.
He goes for the cheap boner like Senator Al Franken.
Al Franken, yeah.
Al Franken, yeah, he would
President
squeeze
Bush.
Their asses. Yeah. One woman in particular said that she felt... How does he talk to all these people, by the way?
He talks to a lot. According to Walchek, he talks to a lot of women up there.
Yeah.
They feel like they can fix him.
Oh, it's a great project. Jesus. One woman in particular.
Why? He's beyond fixing.
Well, he's, you know, he had this murdering problem, but it seems to be dormant for 50 years.
Because of where he is.
Does he have so many other attributes that if you fix the murdering problem, he's a great catch?
He's hot.
Yeah.
You saw him in that Speedo, Trudy.
He's got bad luck.
Not saw that thrust.
Excited. No.
He loves motorcycles. He looks hot on his motorcycles. He has great motorcycles.
Oh, boy.
One woman in particular said she felt he was creepy with his advances and touching. Anyhow, Greg ran his enormous mouth, all caps, to someone that I was friends with, and this person told me that Greg was bragging, all caps, about having my cousin in Canada writing me so they could dig up some dirt on me, etc.
What's wrong with that?
When I found out about that, I was upset that my cousin would do something like that to me. So I thought to myself, two, T-W-O, all caps can play this game, in quotations and caps. I knew that whatever I wrote to my cousin would end up in Greg's lap. So I wrote those two letters to my cousin. Why is two letters in caps?
Because he's psycho, is this guy, man.
The Deion Sanders of emailers. This emphasizes everything. Yeah. So I wrote those two letters to my cousin, which included some partial facts. Partial facts in quotes and in caps? But heavy on the fiction in caps
but
and
once
quotes.
Once again, in is B-U-T-T.
Yes. My cousin was just a pawn in Greg's chess game, and Greg even wrote and told me how easy, in caps, it was to manipulate John. I have all my cousins.
What do you find the most mind-boggling about the opposite sex?
I love that. He asks the question five times, and he emphasizes something different every time he asks it. I have all my cousin's letters and emails, and what he's told you do not match what he has told me. I told you, caps, do not, in quotes and caps, match what he said to me.
And separate caps, too, or separate quotes.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Wow.
I have no control over what people say about me, and that is why I've chosen to refuse interviews of any kind.
Which, that makes no sense.
I know, it's really dumb.
He has the opportunity to tell his story, but he refuses interviews.
I've been deceived too many times in the past. When you see, hear from Greg, and you will because his ego is so enormous.
I've heard it rivals the Grand Canyon.
Please tell him that because of his ego and big mouth that he got played by me. LOL.
What a nut.
An attorney told me that I have a legal expectation of privacy considering those letters, so my cousin and Greg should be careful. As for my cousin, he got duped by Greg and still doesn't realize it. Wait, caps for still? If I chose to, I could easily bring up some very painful issues about John C., but I elect to take the proverbial high road.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the high road. I love when a five-time murderer at least takes the high road. And not discuss our dirty laundry with the public. I like to believe I still have some integrity. Also in quotes.
Integrity.
Yeah, you have lots of integrity.
Integrity.
As for Sergeant E. Schroeder, I liked him and thought, well, if I heard that he was having some health issues. If you ever come in contact with him again, kindly tell him I wish nothing but good health the rest of his retired years. I think he's a good man. He kept his word to me, and that always means something to me. In here, all you have is your word. Well, Frank, I've spent much more time with you than I had anticipated. No, you're spending time writing an email. You're not spending time with Frank. You can say whatever you want about me, but if you have any integrity at all, you will leave my dear mother out of this. She's not here to defend herself from all the lies that have already been told about her by Keys, my cousin, etc., people that never even knew her. I will always love her. She was a kind and loving person to all that knew her. So there he is, covering up the mommy,
wow,
the mommy anger issues. Oh, how weird.
You didn't read the last line.
Because Matt Riley's calling me.
Oh.
Should I find out what this is? Could be breaking news.
Is this breaking news? That's funny. Matt talks so loud.
I can hear him here through
the phone 5 feet away from the mic.
That's true.
Listen to that.
Okay. Text me.
That's
See
really
you.
Funny. Don't you hang up on me. Was it important?
He was breaking the Charles Rogers news this morning. He was trying to. Yeah, you'd already broken it.
Yeah. After Tony
so,
Ortiz.
Yeah, the last line was, now I hope you'll simply leave me alone. Peace, John.
Peace.
Peace.
What a douche. God.
Guy that cuts up body parts and stuff.
That's right, yeah.
Semen-filled panties in girls' mouths.
Yeah, peace. Didn't he stick sticks? And
yeah, he did a lot of...
I like how the Free Press puts, handsome, in quotes.
That deserves to be in quotes because they're attributing it to someone that said he was handsome. I don't know who that person was.
Yeah.
Well, he's a heck of a guy.
Great man.
Why is it so weird when these people start actually talking or writing, because you know there's so many things in there.
Yeah, because they're nuts. You don't know what's going to come out, like spelling the word butt, B-U-T-T, every single time.
He's really scary, scary, scary. And all those guys, all those people that examine him or studied him or whatever, they all agree he is the scariest mofo. Just frightening. And
yikes.
Continues to be. And I love how he claims that, I knew he was giving these letters to this guy, and so I intentionally wrote crazy stuff. The joke's on him.
Yeah, there's no one smarter.
No, never.
He's a stone cold killer.
Get us out of here, Brandon. Hopefully everybody's managing with the snow.
Oh, I can't wait to go home and shovel.
Oh, I know.
Yuck.
Oh, boy, what a job.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, did you guys see Cuba Gooding's girlfriend?
I have that phone number.
If his life isn't nuts enough, he's got like 15 girls. They said there's probably another 10 or 20 who have called them.
Oh, really?
With similar cases. No, girls who he's accused, asked, he's pinched or he's grabbed or done something very rude in a sexual way. Huh. So he continues to hit the bars, which is such a terrible idea. Somebody saw him bomb before 9 o'clock, which seemed to be a big deal to that person that was saying it.
He was also at a Knicks game, a Nets game, upsetting 50 Cent.
Oh, that's right.
It was really funny.
Why was 50 Cent upset?
Because he put something on Instagram like, you got 15 girls after him. What are you doing at a Knicks game?
Yeah, that was a good point.
He thinks it's bad decorum for him to show up in public.
Agree.
Which, he's
nobody's
right.
Better at Instagram than 50 Cent. Yeah,
so true. Claudine De Niro, Robert De Niro's former daughter-in-law, is apparently his girl. He has a girlfriend, and she's 20 years older than most of his girlfriends. She's like 41 years old. She's pretty. And he's whispering something to her on her birthday. She gets pissed and throws a shot glass and then just clears the deck, all these glasses off this table, and then storms out of the restaurant.
Wow, what did he say?
Nice timing.
That was after they were making out like crazy in front of everybody. Oh,
get out of the bars. Just go to rehab.
Yeah.
Just go straight to rehab. Do not pass go. It'll help him in court, I would think. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Be safe, everybody.
Are you serious?
Yeah, everything is fine.